News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Israel says the Navy chief of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard was killed in an overnight military strike. Israel's defense minister said the leader died along with other senior naval commanders. He said the Navy chief was responsible for bombing operations that have blocked ships from crossing the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump claims that Iran wants to make a deal with the U.S. to end the war.
Yeah, we're winning so big, nobody's ever seen anything like we're doing in the Middle East with Iran. And they are negotiating, by the way, and they want to make a deal so badly, but they're afraid to say it because they figure they'll be killed by their own people. They're also afraid they'll be killed by us.
On social media this morning, the president wrote that Iranian negotiators better get serious soon before it's too late. A jury in Los Angeles has found Meta and YouTube liable in a landmark social media addiction trial.
The plaintiff is a 20-year-old woman who says she became addicted to social media as a child, and it exacerbated her mental health struggles. Her attorney, Mark Lanier, says this sends a strong message.
Just because of the features alone that drive addiction, these companies can be held accountable.
Other families were there backing this case. Juliana Arnold blames Instagram for her daughter's death.
They knew the harm. They knew the damage. They assessed the risk, and they moved forward anyway.
Meta's Ashley Nicole Davis says they will appeal. The companies are being ordered to pay $6 million in damages. I'm Ed Donahue.
Global financial markets are lower this morning. Oil prices have jumped back above $100 a barrel as the war against Iran drags on. AAA says today's national average for gasoline just under $4 at $3.98 a gallon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Coming to movie theaters from Sight and Sound Films.
George Whitfield has arrived to awaken the colonies.
One man was led by faith.
Arise! Come forth!
The other was a man of reason.
I am just the lightning rod.
And who is the saucepan?
This Easter weekend, an unlikely friendship shaped a nation.
One candle illuminates a thousand.
A great awakening in theaters April 3rd, rated PG-13.
Don't miss cutting-edge coverage of daily news on the Alex Marlowe podcast.
For so many years, we thought we would see terror. Is it a Muslim? Now we're starting to think, is it a trans person? And we've indulged all of this. It's completely our fault, self-inflicted wound. We've run so hard away from the science and towards insanity. They'll never stop. They will never be done. They'll always try to take more. They'll always try to create more chaos.
Subscribe to the Alex Marlowe podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. One person is dead and another is injured after separate shootings in Baltimore Wednesday night. Just before 8 p.m., a man was shot in the head in the 1200 block of Rossiter Avenue in Northeast Baltimore and was pronounced dead at the scene. Shortly before 9 p.m., a man was shot in the 500 block of Thornfield Road. The victim suffered multiple gunshots to his upper body and was taken to the hospital in stable condition. And city police have arrested a suspect in connection with a murder in South Baltimore. Detectives have arrested Craig Parker in the February 26th killing of Kyrie Plummer in the 3500 block of Fifth Street. Police say the Warrant Apprehension Task Force arrested Parker on Tuesday, and he was taken to central booking where he was charged with first-degree murder. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. For years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. Now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. During fall weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather is changing, and now's the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404, 410-876-9404, or timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Gary Stein on sports.
All systems go for opening day here in Baltimore. Schools are closed, businesses shuttered, and bars are open. At least that's the way it should be. As Charm City celebrates spring, all decked out in orange and black. First pitch, 3:05. Get in your seats at 2:30 for the orange carpet welcome of your 2026 O's. Your opening day starter, Trevor Rogers.
I'm already trying to contain my excitement right now. I'm just ready to get up there, pitch in front of those incredible fans.
Players and coaches are human too, and with the glare that opening day brings, it's human nature for nerves to set in. So says the Orioles manager.
There's always nerves. I think you should have nerves, right? Players should have nerves. It keeps you on edge. Those nerves are there for a reason.
Sidebar, if you're in the splash zone today, make sure to say hi to Jesse Minter before he douses you. The Ravens head coach will be joining Mr. Splash as the guest splasher today. O's pitching coach Drew French approves of the new head coach.
Love a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
Like, that's Baltimore. That's what it's always been.
Yeah. Coming up in 30 minutes, how Trevor Rogers found out that he got the job. And that is Stein on Sports.
The America Bullion Center in Timonium pays the highest cash price for U.S. gold, silver, and your coin collections. Even though the price of gold and silver changes daily, your coin collections are at record high prices. The America Bullion Center will pay the highest cash price for all your gold, sterling, silver, and U.S. coins. The America Bullion Center is located at 2334 York Road in Timonium, just north of the fairgrounds and just south of Pedonia Road. Phone 410-825-2334, license 2528. That's the American Bullion Center.
WCBM News Time 906. Here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy and really mild today with highs headed for the low 70s. We could see a stray shower, but I think our best chance for rain will hold off until late tonight, heading into Friday morning. That's when we've got some soaking rain moving in, along with cooler temperatures. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
51 degrees in Westminster, 58 in Easton, and 55 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy opening day, yes, to all the O's fans out there. Today is the day. We got a new season, a fresh start. I know Gunnar Henderson's going to get out there and kill it. They're all going to do a fantastic job, all right? So we're nothing but optimistic here this morning at WCBM. Now, of course, Brian, the producer, he's got his O shirt on. And I said, look, I'm also representing O's with the black dress. I know. I should have wore orange. But guess what? I am going to go to the game for just a little bit today. So I will be there as the game starts at 3 o'clock, and then I'll be there until about 5 or so. And I hope that you guys say hello, because I would love to meet you. And then I'm headed to Annapolis. Don't forget, we have that big debate today with the Republican candidates in Annapolis. From what I understand, most of them will be there. Most of them will be there, and I'm a moderator along with Tori Snow and Eurypsy Morgan, and Chris Pabst from Fox 45. He's going to be hosting the event, so we're expecting a lot of people. Apparently, it's free, by the way, so you can always stop by. I will repost a flyer at my 10 o'clock break, so you can get all the details if you definitely want to come out. It should be a really good time, lots of great questions. Believe it or not, as a moderator, I didn't actually write the questions that I'm asking. They were handed to me. So, you know, don't get on me if you don't like the questions. But the Anne Arundel County Republican Clubs, you know, they're the ones that put this all together. And I think they did a fantastic job. And like I said, it's a free event. It's free, right? So you can just go in, meet all the candidates, listen to them, get your point of, you know, get your perspective on all of their stances. And then you can decide on whether or not, you know, you want to go with certain individuals as far as a primary candidate and the nominee. Also, I should have some signage up there with WCBM. So please come on out, take some pictures, and let all your friends know that, you know, at least WCBM is on top of it. We are the 2026 election headquarters, if you might have seen from the WCBM app. All right, we got lots to talk about, by the way. The Francis Scott Key Bridge. Oh, 2 years today. It has collapsed, and we have some sound. And we're going to get into the sound here because, you know, I wanted to go back, obviously, to the 2 years, right? I wanted you to take a listen to when it first collapsed, what was being reported at that time. I have some sound from Mayor Brandon Scott 2 years ago. I have sound from Governor Wes Moore 2 years ago. And we're just going to take a good listen, you know, a little trip down memory lane, and a good listen to how they were handling the situation as it was occurring. Now, there's no right or wrong way to handle a tragedy like this, but I do want to go back and just kind of comment on some of the remarks that they made. If you recall, you had Mayor Brandon Scott that was on the scene immediately. At that time, Johnny Olszewski was the county executive. He was there immediately. You had county council members. You had senators. I know State Senator Saling, he was there immediately. I want to say Delegate Rick Metzger was mostly, I think he was there immediately as well. So you had a lot of people, you know, city council members, county council members, they got down there as fast as they could. And so we'll talk about kind of how all that played out. Because if you recall, we didn't find out till later that Governor Wes Moore was not in town when all, you know, all this happened, the tragedy occurred. So he actually had to leave Massachusetts and get there. And that's why he wasn't there in the very morning hours, the early morning hours with the rest of the elected officials, because he wasn't in town. So we'll talk about that and then we'll get into his comments on how now that you listen back to it, now you can kind of piece together the fact that he was, in fact, absent. Because I remember we were talking about it on the show, and I kept asking, like, where's Governor Wes Moore? Wasn't in town. Was not in town. A lot of people were talking about it because a lot of people were not they were not aware that his schedule had him out of the state of Maryland at that time. So we'll talk about that. We'll also get into the question of the day. Patty Morin, Rachel Morin's mother. Remember, Rachel Morin was killed on the Ma and Pa Trail in Harford County. She called out Governor Wes Moore yesterday, and for good reason. Obviously, he's still putting up a fight along with AG Anthony Brown and Congresswoman April Delaney. They don't want the ICE detention facility there in CD6, and they're trying to ensure that the Trump administration does not spend $100 million in an area that absolutely needs something to happen as far as, you know, some economic relief. So they're pushing this away. It would create jobs, obviously bring so much to town. And of course, those in town, they voted to bring in this ICE facility. But, you know, you've got Governor Moore and friends blocking it. And so Rachel Moore's mother, Patty, called him out yesterday. So we'll get into that. Also, Tory Snow, he's got his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. He'll join me at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, Tory Snow is going to be one of the moderators tonight. You know what? When he's on, I'll ask him about it. I know he's gone through the questions. This is how bad I am. I know I have questions. I can't say that I've actually read them. I can't say that I've actually looked at it. I was that kid in school. You know, you had something that you had to do, and last minute I would scoop it up and say, there we go. You know, that's me. But I'll ask Tory Snow about the event tonight and how he feels this might go for the gubernatorial candidates. So, again, he'll join us at 10 o'clock. And then the big conversation of the day, Delegate Eric Boucher, and he's been on the show with me before. He's in Carroll County's District 5. He's a delegate, and he's not running for re-election. And when we had him on the show, when we, you know, found out he wasn't running for re-election, we asked him why that is. And he said at the time that he believed that Republicans didn't really have a say in Annapolis, right? We're so far in the minority, he says, we don't really get stuff done. And he doesn't see it as something that he wants to continue doing. And so at the time, he told us he wasn't running for re-election. And I thought, all right, so he'll do this last session, right? And I think this is his fourth year. He was elected in 2022 cycle. And so, you know, I thought maybe he'll just finish out this session and then be done, because you do have, great candidates running for the seat. And I thought, okay, well, that's it. Well, anyways, Gary Collins with Spotlight on Maryland caught up to the delegate because he's been, leaving a little statue on his desk of Aristotle. So he shows up and says, present when they do the roll call, and then he leaves. And he goes, I guess, back home to Carroll County to deal with his business. Apparently, his business is not doing well right now. I think every business owner in Maryland can understand. And so he says that he has to go take care of business, even though he's really in session. So anyways, we're going to get into what the conversation was between the delegate and Gary Collins with Spotlight on Maryland. And then after that, we'll be joined on the show with one of the Republican candidates, Steve Whistler. He'll join us at 10:35 a.m. And then at 11 a.m., we'll be joined by Sally Taylor. Now, they're the two Republicans that are running for this seat. District 5, just so you know, it covers Carroll County and pieces of Frederick County as well. And I know both Sally Taylor and Steve Whistler. And it's interesting because now you have people like Senator Justin Reedy, Delegate Tomlinson, I think Delegate April Rose, who's also in Frederick County. They're now calling for Delegate Eric Boucher to resign. Now, I did reach out to Delegate Eric Boucher to see if he could come on the show today. He told me, of course, he'll be in session by 9 o'clock this morning. I figure since he was leaving for the day, he could... I'm such a piece of garbage. But I was really thinking, if he's leaving for the day, call me when you get in the car. You know what I mean? So he said that he might possibly call in. So, you know, I can't guarantee it, but he said he might possibly call in and explain to us, you know, what has been going on, especially with the business aspect. But then also, you know, has he been able to vote? Has he been able to propose any bills? Like, what has he done? Because even in this conversation with Gary Collins, he said that he changed his strategy. And he is helping the people in his district, but just in a different way. So I want to ask him what that is. Like, what does he mean by that? What has he been doing kind of behind the scenes? And then also, I want to ask him if he plans to resign or if he plans not to resign. Just so you know, when I did reach out to him yesterday, he did tell me that he did know about the calls for resignation. And, you know, he made a couple other comments, but I'll let him make the comments himself. I'm not going to speak for him. And by the way, this is via text message. So sometimes the tone in text messages, you can't quite get it. So I'll let him call in and let me know. So hopefully he'll do that. But again, Steve Whistler will join us at 10:35 a.m. Sally Taylor will join us at 11 a.m. And we're going to talk about the latest with the Delegate Eric Boucher. Also, TSA funding updates. There's a lot going on Capitol Hill, so we'll get to that as well. And Councilman David Marks is calling for a revote on the Mulberry County school budget. Apparently, this vote could have happened. It could have transpired illegally. I know Chris Papps had a lot that he's been posting about it, but we'll get into that because now David Marks, my councilman, has stepped forward and now he's calling for a revote. So we'll get into all of these things. Like I said, jam-packed show. It's going to be a great show. As you can hear, I'm very excited. I'm well-rested. I'm here to have fun with you. And if you want to call in anytime, whatever conversation we're having, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. So let's get right into it. Again, 2 years ago today, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed, and we're going to go back in time here to when it happened. Like right after, I guess this was in about an hour or so, it made international news. They were talking about it in the UK. They were talking about it everywhere. I remember I did an interview for some kind of broadcast in Sweden. They're like, you know, Kimberly, what happened? I'm like, well, let me tell you. Because people couldn't understand how this cargo ship could take out an entire bridge. Take a listen.
Breaking news out of Baltimore this morning. That is where the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after it was hit by a container ship. You can see the dramatic moment that the bridge fell into the water. Right now, investigators are on the scene and search and rescue efforts are underway. For more, we're joined by NBC News senior correspondent Tom Costello, who's there in Baltimore. Tom, what is the latest from the scene where we should note the fire chief says this is still a search and rescue?
This happened at about 1:30 or 1:40 in the morning is when the initial fire call went out. And they are looking for seven people who are in the water. They believe were in the water. Now, the trouble is the water is about 45 degrees or so. It's about 32 degrees out here on land. Survivability in the water, given the extreme cold and given the hypothermia risk, we're told by experts, maybe an hour. So now we're multiple hours into this event, and yet it is still an all-out search and rescue effort with helicopters in the air searching the water, as well as you would expect, fire department, marine assets, land assets, and the Coast Guard. Let me just get out of the way because I want to show you, if you follow the road, if you will, here, go up the road, you're going to see the bridge there, right? Well, that's it. That's the end of the bridge. It ends right there because it's been cut down by that ship. Now, look to the right, and you're going to see containers on top of a deck. Those are the containers on top of the ship that is stuck right as you would expect, right in place because of this ongoing emergency. So the question right now very much is, well, exactly how did this happen? Some local authorities are telling us that the ship apparently lost power or lost its ability to navigate. We don't know how that happened, and we don't know who specifically was piloting the ship at the time. Joe, as you know, when you come into major harbors and ports in this country, essentially the captain of the ship, and this is a Singapore-flagged vessel, the captain of the ship has to step aside for a local pilot to get on board and navigate through the intricacies of that particular port. So is that what happened here? Was it a local pilot and his or her assistant that was on board on top of that ship deck at the time that they then apparently ran into the pylon here? But among the questions here, how is it possible that a cargo ship could take out such a critical support column for the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is a critical bridge here in Baltimore? And how could the entire bridge collapse and be so vulnerable to a single pylon being taken out? So an awful lot of questions here. This has been an ongoing massive response effort since about 1:30 a.m., and they are still searching for seven people. As I mentioned, two people have been pulled out of the water. One of them is in a very serious condition at a local trauma center. The other did not need any medical care whatsoever.
All right. So there you have it. 2 years ago today, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Later we found out, one of those men, did recover fully in the hospital, the two that were rescued. And then the other gentleman, they said that he didn't need any care. I will say, I wonder, because remember, he needed a translator. The translator himself was the gentleman that was found in the water that went to the hospital. And again, he is fine. But the gentleman that needed the translator, he said that he didn't need any help or what have you. And at that time, many people were then beginning to talk about the fact that many of the men that were working on the bridge that night were illegal immigrants. And so they never actually confirmed any of that. But of course, that's still in the air, still lingering. And we never received any confirmation because, of course, many people wanted to know, was the state of Maryland contracting and hiring illegal immigrants to do construction work, whether it's filling potholes or what have you on the bridge? I just want to make sure we point out that the fact that we still haven't received those answers. Okay, still never received those answers, but I think we could all take a good guess. When we get back, we're going to get into the comments made by Mayor Brandon Scott and, at the time, Governor Wes Moore when he finally arrived. We're also getting into the question of the day. Marty, I see your text. You're like, wait a minute, the questions are scripted. This sounds like a scripted event. No, Marty, this is not scripted. They wrote the questions to make sure we're just three moderators. They didn't want us asking the same questions, and they wanted us to make sure that we covered every topic. So that's why they went ahead and they crafted this themselves, because they wanted to make sure that the candidates were questioned on every single issue that is important to Marylanders today. And they used polling to even find out what it is that the constituents want to hear about. So I know what it sounded like, so I apologize for saying it that way, Marty. But no, I don't do scripted events, all right? My name is not Governor Moore. I don't read a script. When we get back, we'll continue this conversation about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. If you want to weigh in, of course you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Where were you 2 years ago? Did you hear what sounded like an explosion to many people that live in Dundalk? Call back and let me know.
Gail Foster of Century 21, New Millennium Real Estate, salutes our troops and thanks them for their courage and the sacrifices they make to secure the safety of our country for future generations. This message is from Gail Foster of Century 21, New Millennium Real Estate, serving Baltimore, Central Maryland, and all the surrounding areas with over 18 years of real estate experience. She specializes in military relocation and works with military families. Call 443-271-1864. That's 443-271-1864 for Gail Foster of Century 21, New Millennium Real Estate. On the air because she cares. Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors.
On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. The Sean Hannity Show.
CEO of Zillow has just said that if illegal immigrants have to go back home, that will ease the housing shortage in the country and lower prices and make it more affordable. Donald Trump can get the economy in a better spot and interest rates go down. That's going to make a home more affordable. This is what we've sadly taken as a new normal. It doesn't have to be this way.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're talking about the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. You know, before we get into some of the remarks that were made 2 years ago from Mayor Brandon Scott, I did want to give you the question of the day at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. What year will the Key Bridge reopen for motorists? Very simple question. What year will the Key Bridge reopen for motorists? You know, we were first told that it would be rebuilt and erected by 2028, and it would only cost about $2 billion. Then, afterwards, they told us, after experts really, truly looked at it, meanwhile, we were told it was 2028 with $2 billion. We told experts came up with that number, too. So, I guess it's a different group of experts. They then came back and said, oh, no, it's not going to be up until 2030. And you know what? Forget about the $2 billion. That was going to cost you $5.2 billion to rebuild the bridge. So it's taking them even longer, right? And it's going to cost more money. Well, you know, a lot of people are skeptical on the timeline here. Myself included, all right? Yours truly included. I don't think it's going to be up by 2030, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So, what year will the Key Bridge be reopened for motorists? Again, question of the day. Here are your options. 2030, 2031, 2032, or 2033 plus. What are we looking at here, in your opinion? And then we'll get to those results towards the end of the show today. I did want to get, like I said, to what Mayor Brandon Scott had to say right after the Key Bridge collapse. Now, remember, this is when he was labeled the DEI mayor after he made these comments. I said this. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. He received the phone call. The bridge collapsed at 1:30 a.m. I don't expect him to look like a supermodel rolling out of bed and getting down there, but there are a lot of people that called him a DEI mayor for, you know, the way that he looked when he showed up. But I don't hold the look against him. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody calls me at 1:30 and they're like, the bridge just fell in the water and I'm the mayor, I'm jumping up. Well, okay, so I might put on a little eyeliner, a little something. But I am. I'm jumping up. You're going to see me in a baseball hat. I'm not going to do my hair. I'm not going to do any of those things. But I think the DEI mayor part came into play because of the way he sounded more than the way that he looked. Take a listen.
Thank you, Chief. Everyone, this is a unthinkable a tragedy. We have to first and foremost pray for all of those who are impacted, those families. Pray for our first responders and thank them, all of them working together, city, state, local, to make sure that we are working through this tragedy. This is an ongoing, active research that we're having right now. We're going to continue, as you heard from Chief Wallace, throughout, as long as we have to be doing that, we will do it. But we have to be thinking about the families and people impacted, folks who we have to try to find and save. This is what our focus should be on right now. We're going to continue to work in partnership with every part of government to do everything that we can to get us through the other side of this tragedy.
It's active research going on down there. Yeah, see, that was the key here. And I think Mayor Brandon Scott misunderstood. Well, if you recall, he went on MSNBC with Joyanne Reed, and, you know, he wore like a sweatshirt, a hoodie, a purple one. It says, you know, DEI, and he said it was duly elected incumbent. And I know you can tell his feelings were hurt. And I can understand that. But when you present yourself in that manner, and you stand up there, and I don't know, maybe, because I always said, has he had media training? Maybe he hasn't had media training. But maybe he did have media training, but just not the best media training. Like, we don't know who actually did the media training. I mean, maybe he did try to get better. I don't know. But he does this thing where he pauses in between. But we have noted, remember after he did the State of the City address in 2023, I think it was, you could tell that he had more media training and he sounded a lot better. But at that time, I think, you know, people were looking at him, you know, to see what he looked like, and they put it on top of how he sounded, and then they were like, well, what the heck is going on? Because he didn't sound like, you know, executive of a major city. He really did not. Anyway, so when we get back, we'll also take a listen to what Governor Moore had to say. And, you know, now looking back on it, I only have like the first half of it, but now looking back on it, now I realize kind of what he was saying in regards to his colleagues. Because I didn't know, and none of us knew at the time, that he had just arrived back in town. That trip wasn't on his schedule to Massachusetts. And so he was, I guess, trying to hide that as well. So right back, when we get back, we'll talk about the governor's remarks.
SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The International Olympic Committee has announced that transgender women athletes are now excluded from the Olympics. The IOC said eligibility for any female category event is now limited to biological females. The new policy aligns with President Trump's executive order on women's sports ahead of the 2028 Games in Los Angeles. Two new developments in the war against Iran today. Israel says it killed the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's Navy. And Pakistan's top diplomat says U.S.-Iran indirect talks are taking place as the two countries offer opposing proposals. In a dramatic rescue, San Francisco fire crews saved a woman who had gone over a cliff and was stuck on the rocks with waves crashing below. Oil trading back above $100 a barrel. This is SRN News.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
A lot of firsts happening today at Camden Yards. First game for Craig Albernaz as manager of the Birds. First time Pete Alonso will be introduced as the Orioles' first baseman. First time Trevor Rogers will take the ball on opening day. The left-hander telling Barstool Sports how he got the news from pitching coach Drew French.
He said, we just need to go over some scheduling. I'm like, okay, sounds good. And then he takes me into Albie's office, and then everyone was in there. Like, I don't know why it takes eight guys to talk about a schedule, but shortly after that, I realized what it was about. It was pretty special.
Later, Rogers was asked what the impact of guys like Alonso and Chris Bassitt have had on this year's Birds.
Just having those two veteran guys that, you know, have had good numbers in the playoffs, you know, Bassitt going all the way to the World Series, and they're just really good glue guys. I don't think people outside the sport really don't understand how important glue guys are in just keeping the team together.
And a sidebar, the Athletics' Keith Law in his preseason prognostications picking Gunnar Henderson as the AL's MVP, citing the shortstop's performance at the World Baseball Classic and protection that Pete Alonso would offer Henderson in the batting order. Ravens news, reports are out that seven teams have contacted the team about the availability of Marlon Humphrey on the trade market. The team is having internal discussions about Humphrey's value on the market, but insist that at this point Humphrey will be a Raven in 2026. Now, Tuesday, we found out that former Raven Joe Flacco will again be a Bengal next season. Flacco, at his press conference, taking teams to task for not offering him to be their number one.
And believe me, I wish I was a guy somewhere. And I think teams are dumb for not having me be that guy. It is what it is, and I'm not going to let them or it get me down. I'm going to be the person I am and just approach football the way I always have.
1 year, $6 million for Flacco as a number two behind Joe Burrow. Coming up in 30 minutes, players and coaches are human too. And that is Stein on Sports.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Mostly cloudy and really warm today with highs in the low 70s. We could see a stray shower or sprinkle, but I think most of the rain will hold off until late tonight and Friday morning. Friday morning looks pretty soggy with soaking rain moving through. Temperatures will also be falling throughout the day on Friday, so we'll start the day off in the 60s, but we'll end it in the much cooler 40s, with rain not wrapping up until late Friday evening. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, bird lovers. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Our bird food sale at Wild Birds Unlimited in Timonium and Columbia. I'm Mary Lynn.
And I'm Brian, and that's right. All of the food your birds love. Tea, peanut, suet, cylinders, bark butter, mealworm, and more are on sale now. Drop by and see us at Wild Birds Unlimited Timonium and now Columbia, or shop online at mywbu.com and save while you feed the birds.
Do you know who has the keys to your home? Has it been years since you've had your locks changed? Do you know if anyone has duplicated your key without your knowledge? If you don't know the answer to any of these questions, contact Crestlock.com. Crestlock.com is locally family-owned since 1969. Crestlock.com is running a rekey special where you can get your locks rekeyed for a flat rate. Give Crestlock.com a call at 410-256-7800 or email rekey at Crestlock.com today.
From Columbia to Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
All right, it's been 2 years since a ship collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, resulting in its collapse and the death of six construction workers. Its impacts are felt daily by Maryland residents, businesses, and families, and I will say even truckers all over the country that have to come through the state of Maryland, and anybody that has to sit on 95, 695, 895, you name it. Now that the Francis Scott Key Bridge has been in the water for 2 years, the traffic is awful. And I can only imagine, because remember, today is also opening day. Not just a two-year anniversary of such a tragedy, but opening day is today. And if you could, if you're going out there, I would leave fairly early. Fairly early, because you've got people coming in from all over. I saw some people from New York posting about it. I know my friend Craig McGraw, we've had him on the show a couple times. He and his buddies, they're coming in from New Jersey for our opening day. So leave early if you can, because I have a feeling that traffic's going to be pretty bad trying to get into the stadium today. But, you know, some of that, again, has to do with the fact that you've got the Francis Scott Key Bridge and still sitting in the water. Now, did anybody think that the bridge would be up in 2 years? Most likely not. But did we think that there would be no movement, no motion at all 2 years later? I don't think anybody was expecting this. I also noted before the break, you know, 2 years ago, we had experts that came forward after about 6 months or so and told us that it would be up in 2028. It'll cost us about $4 billion at the time. And that's billion with a B. And now, you know, we know that the bridge is supposedly not going to be up until about 2030, and it's going to cost us about $5.2 billion. So I guess it was a different group of experts, right? The first experts, that was like, you know, that was the D team, I guess, that came up with those numbers. So then Governor Moore, I guess, went back to get a second opinion, and the next group of experts came up with 2030. And then also $5.2 billion. Anyways, the question of the day, again, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate and WCBM.com. Don't forget to take the poll question. What year will the Key Bridge reopen for motorists, right? I don't want to talk about, like, you know, when they're out there doing a ribbon cutting and when they're doing this and that. Because, you know, they're going to do a bunch of press, you know, in regards to reopening this bridge. But I mean, when motorists actually are able to utilize the bridge going back and forth, which year do you think that will be? 2030, these are your options. 2031, 2032, or 2033 plus. Brian, the producer, what do you think? What do you think? What do you got? 2031. All right. Come on down. I'm like, the price is right. Oh, da, 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 da. March 12, 2031. There you go.
All right, look at you. You got a date and everything. All right, Brian, the producer. I do want to get your thoughts out there on it. WCBM.com. Don't forget, if you have the app, which makes it very easy to take the poll question, you can do that there as well. I will get to your text messages also in just a minute. And we are going to go through the timeline when it came to the collapse and everything that transpired that day. But first, I want you to listen to our fearless governor, Governor Wes Moore. You know, he got a lot of press out of the collapse of this key bridge. And at the time, I was annoyed, right? I was really annoyed. But I thought, you know what, Kim, keep, you know, hold it in. Just smile through it. Because since he's, you know, getting so much press and he's doing all these photo ops, maybe he'll get the bridge up in record time. So he could say, look what I did. Look what I did. Now I'm going to run for president. So I was like, all right, maybe it'll all come together. Well, anyways, that didn't happen. So now I want you to take a listen to Governor Wes Moore as he first arrived there on the scene. And this is about the first 2 minutes or so. Take a listen.
Thank you all for being here. This morning, our state is in shock, and I want to take this moment to speak directly to the people of our state. To our first responders, I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of your courage. I'm in awe of your strength. I'm in awe of everything you do for each and every one of us. You saw a crisis, and you said, "What can I do to help?" And our response teams are doing everything in our power to rescue and recover the victims of this collapse, literally as we speak. People who, as we speak, are out there, are divers, our air assets. People who right now are working to save lives and are doing it because the state asked. And we will update the public as the work continues. To our partners inside and outside of government, I know this has been a long night. We started coordinating immediately after the Key Bridge collapsed. We've been standing together every step of the way, from our county leadership, to our city leadership, to our state leadership, to our federal leadership. And I'm grateful to call each and every one of you not just colleagues, but I'm grateful to call you friends.
All right. So, very theatrical. But you can see how he sounded a bit better than the mayor, right? I mean, you can see the difference there. But here's what I'll say. Let's talk about some of the things he had to say there. He says, I'm happy to call you not just colleagues, but my friends. Now, at the time, you know, listening to that, I thought, really? You know, what is up with the friend thing, right? It's like, oh, here's my best friend bracelet, you know? like you're responding to a tragedy. But now it makes sense. You know, now that we know the details, it makes sense. Because, you know, he even mentioned there, if you heard him, he said, we have been standing side by side since this bridge has collapsed, you know, since we got here early this morning. That was a blatant lie. That was a lie. You see, Mayor Brandon Scott, County Executive Johnny O, Senator Saling, you had all these other people, right? The city council members, Nick Mosby, who was a city council president, he was even out there. They were standing side by side. Governor Wes Moore was still on a flight from Massachusetts. He was not here. That was a lie. They have not been standing side by side since the bridge collapsed. He wasn't present. So then it makes sense to call these people his friends. Because they essentially kept this quiet. Because there were many people that looked back at his schedule, and that trip to Massachusetts wasn't on the schedule originally. People didn't realize that he was stumping for Joe Biden in Massachusetts until later on. Now, he also said that he thanks the first responders and all these other people for coming out on the scene and how they went out there and did this, and, you know, because the state asked them to. Now, it's their job, Governor. I mean, it's like, of course they're heroes. Of course they're amazing. Of course we love them. We show them here at WCBM all the time how much we love our first responders. You, not so much. Right now, you are actually, you know, impeding investigations and not allowing them to work with federal partners like the ICE agents. You are giving our first responders the finger right now. But that's what he said 2 years ago when the bridge collapsed. See how things have changed? Things have really changed, haven't they? All right, let's go down into, I'm reading this from Fox 45's website. The impact took place at 1:29 a.m., and by the time the sun rose that day, the impact of the collapse could be seen in stunning videos and photos across the entire world. It took over a month to locate the bodies of the construction workers. As a result of the collapse, unfortunately, six construction workers died. Now, if you recall, even that situation, the waters were a little muddy because they were trying to keep under wraps whether or not those construction workers were actually legal residents. And so just like Kilmer Abrego Garcia, calling him the Maryland man, they were calling them, Baltimore residents or Howard County residents. You remember that? They were saying those things. They were never saying, from such and such, from such and such. Because many of them, and that's why there was a translator out there that was, in the water and rescued, because many of them could not speak English at all. And they were, in fact, not here from the U.S., and many people were wondering if they even had a visa or like some kind of work visa to be on the bridge in the first place. We never received any answers. We're 2 years out. Never received any answers because think about how crucial that would be of a discussion if we found out that a contractor with the state of Maryland was actually hiring illegal immigrants. Right? Then there's a different discussion to be had. And then we can see why more and more when we see Governor Moore and others, taking the sides of illegal immigrants instead of Americans and legal immigrants. Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The International Olympic Committee has announced that transgender women athletes are excluded from the Olympics. The IOC said eligibility for any female category event is now limited to biological females. The new policy aligns with President Trump's executive order on women's sports ahead of the 2028 Games in Los Angeles. The budget dispute over Homeland Security funding is causing long lines for air travelers, but even more pain for TSA officers who haven't received a paycheck for weeks. TSA union head Everett Kelly says workers can't live on promises.
We've been hearing about progress and optimism for weeks. Our members cannot eat optimism. They cannot pay rent with progress. They need a paycheck.
Pakistan says indirect talks between Iran and the United States are taking place. Meanwhile, House Speaker Mike Johnson was asked whether sending more troops to the Mideast signals the U.S. is escalating the Iran war.
The buildup of troops is very different than boots on the ground. We don't have boots on the ground. I don't think that's the intention, but I think Iran should watch that buildup, and they need to take note of that.
Correspondent Bernie Bennett reports that the war with Iran isn't too popular with most Americans.
As the war launched by the U.S. and Israel continues in its fourth week, a survey from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research indicates that while President Donald Trump's approval rating is holding steady, the conflict could be swiftly turning into a major political liability for his Republican administration. While the president is deploying more warships and troops to the Middle East, about 59% of Americans say U.S. military action in Iran has been excessive. Meanwhile, 45% are extremely or very concerned about being able to afford gas in the next few months. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Oil prices are up. More at townhall.com.
Hi, Mike Gallagher here, host of the Mike Gallagher Show. As we head into spring, there's some good news in the housing market. Rates have recently dropped. When rates drop, payments can drop. That can mean hundreds of dollars a month back in your pocket, money you can use to pay bills, reduce debt, or strengthen your financial position. That's why this is the time to talk to my friends at Fellowship Home Loans. They're helping homeowners refinance into lower rates and reduce their monthly mortgage payments. Fellowship also offers a fixed rate line of credit for home projects or consolidating a high interest debt with fast approval and a predictable rate. Remember, many people still qualify to skip their next two mortgage payments. That's 2 months of breathing room while you reposition financially. I've used Fellowship personally. I trust these guys. Before you make your next move, go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/Mike G. fellowshiphomeloans.com/Mike G or call 800-510-MIKE. 800-510-MIKE. Fellowship Home Loans. Mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers. DBA Fellowship Home Loans. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 819382.
10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. Today marks 2 years since the collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. The cargo ship Dolly struck the bridge in the overnight hours of March 26, 2024, killing six construction workers who were on the span. Since then, a number of design milestones have been reached. Demolition of the remaining bridge has been completed. Design of the new bridge is around 70% complete, and crews are driving steel piles into the bed of the Patapsco River to create the base of the new span. The bridge design is expected to be completed by June, and the state will then work to finalize the rebuild cost and construction timeline. The goal is to reopen the bridge to traffic by the end of 2030. And the Maryland Department of the Environment held a public hearing on the Inner Harbor Redevelopment Project Wednesday evening. Officials shared information about the project that's expected to begin this fall. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. I would like to talk to you today about balance problems, also known as dizziness. One out of every 10 patients who visits their family doctor complains about dizziness. 25% of the time, balance problems are related to the ear. At Audiology Associates, we can not only diagnose the cause of your balance problems, but if it is appropriate, we can also provide a treatment plan. You need not be bothered by dizziness anymore. So call our main number at 410-944-3100 or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans. So call 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates. When silence is not golden.
Gary Stein on sports.
All systems go for opening day here in Baltimore. Schools are closed, businesses shuttered, and bars are open. At least that's the way it should be. As Charm City celebrates spring, all decked out in orange and black. First pitch, 3:05. Get in your seats at 2:30 for the orange carpet welcome of your 2026 O's. Your opening day starter, Trevor Rogers.
I'm already trying to contain my excitement right now. I'm just ready to get up there, pitch in front of those incredible fans.
Players and coaches are human too, and with the glare that opening day brings, it's human nature for nerves to set in. So says the Orioles manager.
There's always nerves. I think you should have nerves, right? Players should have nerves. It keeps you on edge. Those nerves are there for a reason.
Sidebar, if you're in the splash zone today, make sure to say hi to Jesse Minter before he douses you. The Ravens head coach will be joining Mr. Splash as the guest splasher today. O's pitching coach Drew French approves of the new head coach.
Love a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
Like, that's Baltimore. That's what it's always been.
Yeah. Coming up in 30 minutes, how Trevor Rogers found out that he got the job. And that is Stein on Sports. Gary Stein here. If your heating or AC system gives you trouble, you need a company that you can count on. That's why I recommend Farnan and Dermer Heating and Air Conditioning, serving Baltimore for 125 years. When you need help fast, they offer same-day service, while some companies are a week or more out. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for up to 60 months on select systems and BGE rebates of up to $3,000 on high-efficiency HVAC systems. Tell them I sent you and get an AC system tuned up for just $99. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys, my guys.
WCBM News Time, 10:06. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly cloudy and really mild today with highs headed for the low 70s. We could see a stray shower, but I think our best chance for rain will hold off until late tonight heading into Friday morning. That's when we've got some soaking rain moving in along with cooler temperatures. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
59 degrees in Bowley's Quarters, 55 in Pikesville, and 53 in Joppatown. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Plasek Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy opening day. Lots going on today. Opening day, the Orioles are going to wow us today. That's what's going to happen. And you know what? They just said, was that Jesse Minter? He's going to be over there in the splash area. Brian, the producer, look. You know what? If all days would be going to the splash area, it might be today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'm not going. But I am going to the game. So if you're out there today, Definitely. I'll be there as the start of the game and then all the way until around 5 o'clock. And then I got to roll out because I got to get to Annapolis. We got a fun event planned for the Republican gubernatorial candidates, and I'm going to get into that in just a second with our guest. But first, I got to give him the proper introduction. He's not just a friend of mine. He's also very funny. He's very intelligent. I've told him before that I am jealous of his IQ. Tory Snow with Free Range Politics also has an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun every week. Good morning, Tory.
Good morning, Kim. You know, that's the main reason I do this every week is because you stroke my ego every time.
Yeah. Just a little glazing here and there, you know, just a little bit. No, but I've told you that before, Tory. I mean, just the way that you're, you know, even just your history buff, I think it's awesome. I think it really is great. I should read more, but then, you know, my phone just doesn't leave my hand. So I just keep scrolling and looking at pictures on Instagram. I don't know what happens there. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Real quick, though, Tory, because I was just mentioning we're going to be in Annapolis later this evening. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize, but this is a free event. You don't have to pay anything. The 2026 Maryland Republican gubernatorial primary debate on the issues. All of the candidates on the right have been invited. And myself, Tory Snow, Euripsy Morgan, we're moderators. And the master of ceremonies is Chris Papps. Again, this starts at 6. Well, the doors open at 6 o'clock today. The debate starts at 7. And I'm excited. This is in Annapolis. Saints, yeah. Constantine and Helene Greek Orthodox Church on Riva Road. Tory, are you excited about tonight?
I could not be more excited. I mean, this is a really good opportunity. Look, I know that sometimes we're a little hard on the Republican Party, but I do respect anyone that throws their hat in the ring, right? Anyone that's part of the process. And so tonight's going to be a really good opportunity to hear from the candidates. I'm planning to show up a bit early because I'd love to meet some of you and shake your hand and, you know, spend some time, you know, with the community. But at the end of the day, we need a candidate that can beat Governor Moore. And so, you know, my mortgage and property taxes heavily depend on it. So we're excited about the discussion.
Yeah. And I was telling people, you know, I think everybody did a great job putting this together. And it does. It means a lot to many of us. And, you know, just to be able to hear from each of the candidates and hear where they stand on the issues, because you're right. I mean, this has to be somebody that could take on somebody that is very, look, whether we want to admit it or not, very charismatic, right? When he walks into a room, everybody's looking at him. He's got that it factor. And unfortunately, in politics, that goes a long way. And really, you need somebody that can be an executive and a leader. And I tell people, Tory, all the time, you might agree here, an executive and a legislator, two totally different
they are,
people.
They really are. They're different fields. This is part of the reason that, you know, this idea of, you know, picking high school class presidents to run, you know, $67 to $70 billion budget, it gets us where we are right now. I mean, look, he's had to fire half of his cabinet. We're literally looking at a huge deficit, though I think they closed it, but they're just kicking the can. We're going to have a $4 billion deficit unless things turn around in the next 4 years. And all of that's going to come in the form of high taxes. We've got payment plans for our vehicle registration. This state is plunging into a disastrous, you know, condition. And when you have someone that doesn't know how to, you know, run a state government, doesn't have those executive skills, it's a huge problem.
No, it absolutely is. And, you know, sometimes people will say, hey, Kim, have you ever thought about running, you know, the gubernatorial race? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know that I cannot handle being the executive of the state. I know this about myself. I'm more even interested in legislation, right? That's where my interest lies. You got to know your strengths. You got to know your weaknesses. Right. And for me, Governor Moore, you know, maybe as a legislator, much different. But as an executive, he can't handle getting this thing done. You've got to be a project manager.
Governor Moore needs to be an activist. That's what he needs to do. He needs to be running a nonprofit and advocating for whatever ridiculous ideas that he wants. Like, he needs to be in a nonprofit. He needs to be wasting private sector money instead of public sector money.
I think that's a great way to put it.
I don't even think he'd be a good legislator. Anyway, here, there.
Yeah. We won't get too far into that because, of course, we'll be talking about that tonight in Annapolis. Can't wait to see you there, Tory. I wanted to get to your op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. In case you didn't know, Tory Snow has an op-ed every week in the Baltimore Sun, and it's about the Columbus statue. And if I could, Tory, until you get into it here, I wanted to just read the first sentence because I thought it was great. The Trump administration is reminding the nation that Democratic politicians are the purveyors of lawlessness. And that is so, so true. Tory, tell us, why did you focus on the Columbus statue this week?
Well, look, so I was actually on the air. So when they tore it down, I had the morning show on, the next day, and I literally spent hours talking about this, and I was just, what was surprising was that, again, people had the audacity to go in to another neighborhood. I don't think these are locals. I don't know if they ever, again, we never know who these destructive protesters are anyway. They went into this neighborhood, tore the statue down, but what was really shocking to me was the response from politicians. There should have been a unanimous, like, this was awful, don't be doing that. But you've got, Brandon Scott like, well, I never liked the guy anyway. Nancy Pelosi, oh, well, people are going to do what they're going to do. But the Democrats were on board with this. And it just reminds me, the Democrats are working so hard to distance themselves. But again, you and I had these conversations that summer of 2020. We didn't recognize any of these politicians. They were sitting on their hands quietly watching while radicals burned this country to the ground.
Yeah, and yesterday we had a Doug Ignito Mangione, and he was talking about how he was there, and he was just appalled at what was going on. And of course, he took it back to the fact that his family, I mean, this had some history for him. His family was there when it was being erected, and of course, you had Donald Schaefer, and even, you go back to the pictures, and you can see in the background, and it was little tiny Nancy Pelosi at the time. She was also standing there alongside her father. And so it's, you look back and it's just like, wow, there's so much history here. And you would think instead of allowing them to really tear history down, you would think that they would want to preserve it, right? This isn't like what were they removing, the Confederate monuments at one point in time? This wasn't a Confederate monument. This was just, as you put it here, Tori, this was just lawlessness in full effect.
Yeah, and that's what, like, look, there is absolutely a legitimate discussion to be had about colonialism. I read, right? And so, unfortunately, it does mean that we do have to, face some tough facts about the things that we have been taught versus the way the things it might have been. But again, take comfort in the fact that even the new assumptions that we're making can and probably are wrong. And so, but again, that's never an excuse to just, like, destroy stuff and tear stuff apart. That was my main focus. And again, I don't want to get bogged down in the debate on Columbus and colonialism. We can have that discussion. That's not the point. The point is that if you are an official, if you are someone who is the steward of public stability, you should not be winking at people that are literally destroying property and, tossing things that aren't theirs into the harbor. I personally feel like the Trump administration is going to leverage this in the midterms, and they're going to kind of take us down memory lane. That's why I really honestly believe it. No one's announced it. It's not public. But I think that there's going to be a day when they're like, see this statue here? The Democrats supported people that destroyed this. And it wasn't just that statue, but it was billions of dollars of devastation of businesses that were burned and people that were put out of homes, all because Democrats wanted to push a political point.
You see, that was my next question. Again, we're speaking to Tori Snow and talking about his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. That was my next question, is why would the Trump administration take this on, especially, like you said, right before the midterm elections? I guess I wonder, Tori, and I mean, we're just speaking of, there's speculation here, but I wonder if they are going to do the same with some other statues that were torn down. What do you think?
Yeah, so as we get to America 250, part of this is going to be, when you're looking at American history, there's going to be a huge cultural battle, and people need to start preparing right now. You need to start getting history books. You need to start reading, because there will be, as we get closer and closer to this, the Democrats are going to do everything in their power to downplay this. They hate, I could say they hate this nation, but they honestly are going to kind of really try to advance the momentum for this reconstructive narrative that America's evil and it was founded on white supremacy. And again, we can't deny that there were elements of that, but that's not the story of America. And so I do believe that the Trump administration is already posturing themselves to say, look, this is what happened. These are the people that laid the foundation of this nation. This is what they believed. And whether you like it or not, those are values that are rooted in European westernized values. I'm sorry, that's just the way that it is, but there will be a lot of pushback on that. So I think that this is a preemptive maneuver on the part of the Trump administration, and don't be surprised when you start seeing this come up, because the left will start their drumbeat narrative probably in a couple weeks about how this is a nation built by slaves and oppression and colonialism and all the horrible things that we've done in our past.
Yeah, they do it every time, I feel like. Every time. Mm-hmm. Marty in the text line pointed out, Tori, this Saturday you've got the No Kings events happening across the country.
Against Westmore?
You would think so.
Town hall. I'm sorry. We're talking about someone else. I'm sorry.
This is about Trump.
The actual death threat that tried to push redistricting without anybody's permission.
Yeah, you know what? Great point there, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit here, Tori. That's a great point. He did. He was pushing redistricting. You know, nobody wanted. You and I were both, watching the virtual town halls where that was being discussed. You actually waited with testimony. We appreciate that, by the way. But even beyond that, you know, he's kind of using that same logic with the ICE facilities, right?
Yeah.
I think the polling numbers, what was it, close to 80% of people were fine with the ICE facilities, and yet he's saying Marylanders don't want it at all.
Because he stacked the deck. He, like, had a closed room town hall. Anyway, I'm sorry. Let me behave today, Kimberly. This is your show.
You don't have to behave.
I have my own.
Look, I never behave on here. That's probably why I'm always on the chopping block. Oh, man. Anyways, Tori, I want you to make sure you tell everybody where they can find your op-eds. And then also tell us a little bit about free-range politics.
Yeah. So first of all, BaltimoreSun.com/Tori Snow. Get a subscription to the Sun. Again, I'm a weekly columnist, and so there's lots of great stories, lots of things that you want to know specifically if you're keeping up with what's going on here in Maryland. And yeah, I do want to take a moment and plug our new podcast, Free Range Politics. My friend Yuripsky Morgan and I launching an independent venture. It's on YouTube. If you type Free Range Politics in Google, you would get a million options to subscribe. You can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, Free Range Politics, but we're really encouraging as many folks as possible to go to YouTube, subscribe, get all the latest updates, and we'll continue having awesome discussions.
Yes.
I'm going to get you by the studio. You can come by and see it.
No, absolutely. And I watch your videos all the time. And, if there's any day where I don't feel like putting an opinion together, I just watch your video and then I just copy what you say. It's like a copy-paste situation. And it just... And it all just works out. So you keep posting, Tori. You're helping people all over the world, you know? You never even know. Tori Snow, as always, thank you so much for joining me today. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Kimberly. See you tonight.
Thank you. That's right. We'll see Tori tonight as well in Annapolis. I'm excited about it. And as I mentioned, it's myself, Yuripsky Morgan, and Tori were moderators, and Chris Paps is hosting the event. And you can see that Chris Paps has been posting about it, too. And I'm sure he'll have his book with him as well, The Failure Factory. See, I love getting out and doing the community stuff. I think it's a lot of fun. And like I said, this is a free event, so would love to see you out there in Annapolis. And I just reposted, by the way. It's now my top post on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It's in the stories. And then I'm going to go ahead and put it on LinkedIn as well, because I know some of you have just LinkedIn, so I'll put it there as well. But if you want to take a look at Tori's latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun, the title, When Baltimore's Columbus Statue Was Toppled. And like he said, you know, it was about lawlessness at the time. You know, it's like they gave people an opportunity to do whatever they want. It did not matter how much it cost we, the people. And I still cannot believe that Nancy Pelosi, out of all of the people that responded to the toppling of the Columbus statue, she just like turned her head as if it didn't happen. As if her father wasn't one of the people, you know, pushing for this to be erected in the first place. Like, how can you do that? Is blood not thicker than water? Where is the loyalty? They didn't have loyalty within the Pelosi family? You see, like, that is astonishing for me. It's astonishing. Out of everyone. And of course, Delegate Nino Mangione, he talked about the history with his family and the Columbus statue. Well, anyways, you know, congratulations to the Trump administration for bringing that back up and making sure that it had a place there in D.C. And I agree with Tori. I think we're going to see more statues that were torn down. I think they're going to be in D.C. And I think that they're going to make a big deal about it. And they should, right? This is our history, whether it's beautiful or not to you. But we don't want to rewrite history. And here you're at the 250th anniversary, and we're going to be celebrating this 4th of July. All right, we get back. I've got so many text messages to read. I want to make sure that your voices are heard. Real quick, did you know that Town Appliance in Owings Mills is the best place for offering anything you want or need in appliances? Their showroom is so big. It's filled with so many different appliances. You can only imagine. From basic all you need to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JetAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag, they have more than 70-plus brands to choose from. And as I told you, I was there myself, and my experience with Mayer is absolutely wonderful. helpful. So helpful and happy to answer any questions you may have, whether you're browsing or buying. And right now, don't forget, Town Appliance is having their 47th anniversary event. They also have flexible financing options available, so it's a great time to stop in. And don't forget to check out their website, townappliance.com, and look for the banner for their anniversary giveaway. It's a beautiful coffee machine, and good luck to all of you.
Have you been injured in a car accident? Don't let the insurance companies push you around. I'm the Ouch Guy, and I fight for hardworking Baltimore families. You won't see me backing down. So while you focus on getting better, let me handle the rest. Call 877-OUCH-911 for the best attorney experience. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Massive tax increases. Skyrocketing utility bills. Criminal illegals roaming free in the state. It must stop now. Go to WCBM.com and sign our state petition. Send a message to our elected leaders that they need to listen to voters and stop the tyranny of one-party rule. Go to WCBM.com and send an SOS for a real change.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show.
Thursday on the show, believe it or not, Iranians are warning that Zohran Mandami used the same language that the Ayatollah did in 1979 to gain power, including affordable housing and free buses.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, again, thank you, Tori Snow. Yeah, he's got Free Range Politics. Check him out. Check out Eurypsy as well. You know, they escaped from a place that I escaped from. So, so I'm happy to see them thrive. You know, there's some places you work, you're not allowed to be MAGA, you're not allowed to support Trump, and so it's good to see them out and about, and of course, that's why I love being here at WCBM. I won't go through that again, but you have no idea what it's like to be free, okay? You have no idea. You have no idea. Got lots of text messages here to read to you. Right now, it's so interesting. You know, I'm not a fan of Candace Owens, and she's being dragged on social media today. Apparently, on her podcast yesterday, there's this clip going around where she's saying this guy, Nick Shirley, you know, Nick Shirley that uncovered all the fraud in Minnesota and everything. She's saying that she thinks he's a scam artist and what he did isn't real and he's being propped up by the administration and he didn't actually find the fraud himself. So people are upset with her. And I'm like, dude, this is how she operates. If anybody else gets attention, she's upset about it. So now it's like I'm sitting here looking for it through my feed because you guys probably heard the announcement. The Olympics did announce that they are not allowing transgender athletes. So, you know, biological men is not going to be allowed to compete against biological females during the Olympics. So I'm going through and I'm trying to find out more about the details on that one. And of course, these videos keep popping up with everybody mad at Candace. Like, it's hard to even find the breaking news. Well, anyways, that is breaking news. I'm sure we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Real quick, I wanted to get into, you know, because I am going to get to your text messages. I promise that I will. But I wanted you to hear the sound because we're going to be talking about this with Steve Whistler after the 10:30 break. Right now, you've got Delegate Eric Boucher, who has not been showing up to work. Gary Collins was able to track him down in Annapolis and talk to him about it. Take a listen.
Good morning, everyone.
For nearly a month, Spotlight on Maryland has tracked the unusual routine of freshman delegate Eric Boucher, who represents Carroll and Frederick counties. Boucher votes present, grabs his bag, greets colleagues, and walks out, leaving behind a marble statue of Aristotle in his empty seat. We followed him outside the State House to ask about his daily absences.
Hey, Gary Collins, how are you?
I am loving life, Gary. I've never been happier since I've been a delegate.
Boucher stopped after hearing his name and defended what he calls a protest.
Why are you leaving in the middle of session?
Well, I'm protesting the fact that Republican votes don't matter. What I've done is I've researched, since I've been in office, if you remove every last Republican vote in every single committee and every floor vote, nothing would change. which means Republicans are irrelevant.
But didn't the voters of Carroll County elect you to do a job, and aren't you receiving benefit of your office?
I'm still doing a job. I'm doing a
How? You're leaving, sir.
Well, I'm not casting a vote, but that's the protest. You can't be a leader in anything. You never have hopes of having any power, so you have to do everything behind the scenes. So this is the only thing I have as a weapon politically to try to help out, because doing what you're saying I should be doing, or doing what you think my...
This is what your constituents say that you should be doing.
And they're wrong about it.
They're wrong about you being here in Annapolis to do your job?
They're wrong about thinking I'm not accomplishing something. I've changed my strategy because the existing strategy we keep doing does not work.
State records show Boucher is the primary sponsor of 11 bills this session. None have reached the governor's desk so far.
So what are you off to do now in the middle of a legislative session that you should be sitting in your seat for?
I'm going to go back to my business because my business is failing. This job has almost put me out of business.
For 90 days of work in Maryland's part-time legislature, Boucher earned $56,000 annually last year. He also gets a daily meal allowance, mileage reimbursement, a specialized delegate license plate, and many more financial benefits of the office.
All right. So that's Gary Collins with Spotlight on Maryland, speaking to Delegate Eric Boucher, who represents both Frederick and Carroll County. And that's the discussion today. So Steve Whistler is going to join us around 10:35 a.m. And then you have Sally Taylor, both candidates for this seat. She'll be joining us at 11 o'clock, and we're going to talk to them about this. So he has been refusing to attend legislative sessions, and he's saying that he's doing this in protest. He's also saying that his business is failing, and it's, it needs his attention. And look, I can understand that any business in Maryland right now needs everyone's attention if they are a business owner because of all the taxes, the fees, electricity bills, you name it. But when you sign up and you're an elected official and you take that oath of office, that would mean that you would have to be there. When we get back, we'll speak to Steve Whistler. And again, like I said, Sally Taylor at 11. But I also want to just read to you in Maryland Matters, they talked about the fact that you have legislators in the Republican Party asking for Delegate Eric Boucher to resign. So we'll get that to that as well.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A big change coming to the Olympics. Transgender women athletes are banned. The International Olympic Committee announced today that eligibility for any female category event is now limited to biological females. Israel says it killed the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's Navy in an overnight military strike. And Pakistan's top diplomat says U.S.-Iran indirect talks are taking place as the two countries offer opposing proposals. Tragedy in Bangladesh, where a bus carrying about 50 people plunged into a river, killing at least 18. It happened while the bus was boarding a ferry. Oil is trading above $100 a barrel again today. That sent global stocks lower. In the early going on Wall Street, the Dow is up a fraction, while the NASDAQ is down more than 0.5%. This is SRN News.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full-pound bags of original U.S. government-struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound, the first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack valued at over $40, and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
A lot of firsts happening today at Camden Yards. First game for Craig Albernaz as manager of the Birds. First time Pete Alonso will be introduced as the Orioles' first baseman. First time Trevor Rogers will take the ball on opening day. The left-hander telling Barstool Sports how he got the news from pitching coach Drew French.
He said, we just need to go over some scheduling. I'm like, okay, sounds good. And then he takes me into Albie's office. And then everyone was in there. Like, I don't know why it takes 8 guys to talk about a schedule, but shortly after that, I realized what it was about. It was pretty special.
Later, Rogers was asked what the impact of guys like Alonzo and Chris Bassitt have had on this year's Birds.
Just having those two veteran guys that, you know, have had good numbers in the playoffs, you know, Bassitt going all the way to the World Series, and they're just really good glue guys. I don't think people outside the sport really don't understand how important glue guys are in just keeping the team together.
At a sidebar, the Athletics' Keith Law in his preseason prognostications picking Gunnar Henderson as the AL's MVP, citing the shortstop's performance at the World Baseball Classic and protection that Pete Alonso would offer Henderson in the batting order. Ravens news, reports are out that 7 teams have contacted the team about the availability of Marlon Humphrey on the trade market. The team is having internal discussions about Humphrey's value on the market, but insists that at this point Humphrey will be a Raven in 2026. Now, Tuesday, we found out that former Raven Joe Flacco will again be a Bengal next season. Flacco, at his press conference, taking teams to task for not offering him to be their number one.
And believe me, I wish I was a guy somewhere. And I think teams are dumb for not having me be that guy. It is what it is, and I'm not going to let them or it get me down. I'm going to be the person I am and just approach football the way I always have.
1 year, $6 million for Flacco as a number two behind Joe Burrow. Coming up in 30 minutes, players and coaches are human too. And that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for a fun, family-friendly day out? Visit the Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville, your one-stop destination for authentic Amish food, friendly faces, and over 20 stalls filled with handcrafted goods. Enjoy fresh flowers, fruits, veggies, and the best seafood and meats around, plus sweet treats baked fresh daily. The smell will draw you in, and the experience will keep you coming back. Open Thursday and Friday 9 to 6 and Saturday 8 to 4. The Pennsylvania Dutch Market. So much to see, smell, and savor.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Mostly cloudy and really warm today with highs in the low 70s. We could see a stray shower or sprinkle, but I think most of the rain will hold off until late tonight and Friday morning. Friday morning looks pretty soggy with soaking rain moving through. Temperatures will also be falling throughout the day on Friday, so we'll start the day off in the 60s, but we'll end it in the much cooler 40s with rain not wrapping up until late Friday evening. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Hair Volume from New Nordic will make your hair look thick and healthy. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, Memorial Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
All right, good morning. Happy opening day. Happy Thursday. Happy two-year anniversary of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Well, I guess that's not something I should say happy, right? Because it's not. That was a tragedy. 6 lives lost. Still don't have all the information on those that lost their lives that day. We still have many questions that have gone unanswered. And here we are 2 years later. And, of course, we don't see a bridge as of yet. But according to Governor Wes Moore, we just can't see it because we're so far away. I know you're probably thinking I used to be able to see it from, you know, 895 and such, but you're too far away, according to the governor. All right, we'll get back into some of those discussions. But first, I do want to welcome our guests on the show, because right before the break, we were talking about Doug and Eric Boucher. He's currently serving in the House in District 5, which represents Carroll County and Frederick County. And he's not running for re-election. And he has said before, we've had him on the show, he said before that he believes that Republicans are so much in the minority that many Republicans can't really get much done. So even with proposed bills or voting against bills that the Democrats put forth, he believes that it's, you know, pretty much a waste of effort. Now, he's been in the seat for, I believe this is his fourth year now. He was elected in 2022. And like I said, he's not running for re-election, but I did want to have on the show the two Republican candidates that are currently vying for that seat. And so first up, we've got Steve Whistler with us this morning. And last minute, by the way, Steve, good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Steve, you know.
Where's your orange? You got the black. Where's the orange?
I know. I got a hard time from my producer, Brian. He's got his orange on, but it's okay. It's all right. I'm going to get out there to opening day for just a little bit. But,
great.
Steve, yeah, I wanted to ask you because I've had Eric Boucher on the show, and I had no idea that he was not actually attending some of the votes and other things there in Annapolis. He was showing up. And he was being present, you know, in the morning to basically, you know, be on the roll call. But do you think anybody knows in the district that he is not actually there to do his job?
Well, I noticed, I've been tracking a lot of the issues in the legislature this year, not only for the school system that I represent in Carroll County, but also just, you know, tracking the issues so that I can, you know, talk about it with voters on the campaign trail. And I noticed that, you know, there were a lot of blank votes from him, and actually, frankly, a few others as well. There's been a lot of blank votes from Adrian Jones, our former speaker, a lot of missed votes from Delegate Brian Crosby, you know, in St. Mary's County. And there's a few others that seem to have a lot of blanks on the board. So I reached out to him a few weeks ago and said, what's going on? And but I didn't realize it was this extensive.
Okay, yeah, so much so that he's been putting a statue, apparently, of Aristotle on his desk in his place, and he says that he's doing it in protest. I guess, you know, here, Steve, you're vying for this seat here in 2026. I wanted to ask you maybe your thoughts on this. Do you feel as though Republicans don't have a large enough voice to really accomplish anything in Annapolis?
Well, actually, no, I disagree with that notion. You know, it's really about making sure that you're down there to represent your district, because every missed vote is a missed opportunity to represent our district. You know, every committee hearing that you miss or skip is a voice that our community doesn't have at the table. And we can do a lot as Republicans to make really terrible bills not so bad. We can really do a lot in terms of offering amendments, offering alternatives, and even submitting our own legislation that really helps preserve local control. And, you know, if counties like, you know, Montgomery or, you know, Baltimore City, if they want to do things in their counties, great. But just keep that in your county and keep it away from Carroll and Frederick.
Right. And I will also say this. Again, we're speaking to Steve Whistler. He's running in District 5 there in Carroll and Frederick counties. I will also say this, Steve. I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, so much attention that they got on the bill that was proposed to put tampons in men's bathrooms, I fear that would have, you know, that would have gone through the floor on the Senate and possibly passed. I think, you know, Republicans are doing a great job at getting attention to some
right.
of these bad
yeah.
bills.
And it's not just those kinds of bills, too, but it's other bills. Like, for example, we see routinely bills in the legislature to move to electric school buses, for example. You know, look, electric school buses might be great in, you know, heavy urban areas, but in areas like Frederick and Carroll, where it's highly agriculture, you know, some of our buses do 100 miles a trip. You know, electric buses aren't feasible, for example, say in Carroll and Frederick. But those are the kinds of things that we need representation for in Annapolis, to make sure that amendments are put in bills so that we're exempted from, you know, requirements like that. Because, you know, the needs in Carroll County and Frederick are so different than those in, say, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Montgomery County and Howard.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, right now, of course, this is in Maryland Matters. I know Senator Justin Reedy posted it online. Right now, Steve, you've got Senator Reedy, delegates April Rose and Chris Tomlinson all asking for Delegate Eric Boucher to resign. Do you echo those calls?
You know, again, it's not personal with me. I do consider him a friend. I've known him for a long time. But I will tell you, and that's really something that he has to decide. I have urged him to be there, you know, and represent. I understand his concerns and issues. But I believe when the voters elect you, they expect you to show up and fight for them every single day. And I can tell you, if I'm elected, I will be present, engaged, and accountable, because that's what the people of District 5 deserve, in my opinion.
Right. Well, you know, there's, of course, there's the rumor mill that's always off the record, right? There's some people that believe that if he does resign, there will be an appointment. And that possibly gives a candidate a little bit of leverage to be the incumbent. Do you feel that could be a possibility, and that maybe possibly it would be best for him to not resign at this time?
Well, actually, it's really a personal decision for him. And I got to tell you, whether he does or doesn't won't affect me, because I'm currently the president of Carroll County School Board. I will not even petition to fill that seat, even temporarily, if he does resign, because I don't want the governor appointing my replacement on our county school board. That would have devastating consequences for us as a county. But, you know, honestly, the Central Committee, the timeline and the process to even do a replacement, coupled with the fact that, you know, they have to present a name to the governor and the governor has to officially seat that person. The governor could choose not to seat anybody and just leave it vacant until the election, especially since we're so close to an election. So, you know, speculation can fly. But, you know, if he does resign, and I hope he doesn't, I hope he shows up and does his job, you know, by the time the primary comes around, you know, in Carroll County and Frederick County, this seat is pretty much decided at the primary. So that timeline could be stretched so long that by the time a decision is made, if he does resign, it could all be moot.
Right. Well, that's good to know. And yes, you are on the board there. I didn't even think about the fact that, yeah, you're right. You know, if you were to move out of that seat, that would give Governor Westmore an opportunity to put somebody extremely, quote-unquote, progressive there. So thank you for thinking that through.
If he does resign, I would refuse to leave my seat. You know, look, I was elected to do 4 years on the Board of Education, and I'm going to do all my 4 years. And the same thing, you know, if I'm blessed to have the voters elect me to represent them in the state legislature, I'll be down there every day, all day, even throughout the year. I've already made arrangements with my employer to do this full time, and it's something that I'm committed to. There are many people in the legislature today that take full time leave of absence. You know, one of our delegates in District 5 takes a leave of absence and doesn't draw a paycheck during his time in the legislature there during that 90-day session. So, you know, there are many others around the state that take this obligation seriously, and I'll be one of those that takes it seriously and works hard for our District 5 constituents every day.
Well, Steve Whistler, like I said, I appreciate you hopping on the phone so fast with me, because I know I texted you just yesterday. Before you go, I just wanted to make sure people understood, you know, if you are to win and get to Annapolis after the November elections, what is your first priority? What are you planning to do for the people?
Well, my first priority is, it's all about affordability. You know, the affordability crisis we face in our state today is a self-inflicted injury. I mean, the state legislature, they have the power to erase 30% of our electric bill right now by just getting rid of the taxes and the fees in our electric bill, that most of which goes towards building and delivering a alternative energy solution that is unrealistic, not based on true science. So we could see immediate relief there. We have to stop putting requirements and regulations and laws in place that make it more expensive to build a home, that make it more expensive to do business in this state, that cause our businesses to lay off our neighbors and not generate jobs. But my first priority is just trying to address the affordability issue. And then probably second is public safety. We've got to stop handcuffing our law enforcement and preventing them from doing their job. I mean, our sheriffs and our deputies spend more time fighting Annapolis than they do fighting crime because of all the crazy things that come out of the legislature every year. So, you know, the public safety issue. And then thirdly, you know, we have to address Blueprint. Blueprint is an iron weight that is dragging the entire state down, and we have to stop kicking that can down the road and realize we can't fund everything and anything, and we have to make meaningful, responsible changes to Blueprint that not only give our local education authorities and county governments local control, but also give and ensure that our kids and educators have a great system to, you know, equip the next generation to lead us.
Yeah, I agree. All things that I think people could agree with there. Steve Whistler, thank you so much for joining us today. Before you go, if you could let people know where they can find you online and how they can donate to your campaign.
Yeah, no. Well, again, you know, I'm a retired naval officer. I've served on Maryland's largest credit union, so I have a background in finance, and I'm also a healthcare manager managing a major healthcare plan, helping manage a major healthcare plan for our military members across 5 Middle Atlantic states. But you can learn more about me at Whistler, the number 4, delegate.com. Again, that's WHISLER, whistleforDelegate.com, whistleforDelegate.com. And, Tim, I really appreciate the time to comment. Again, I hope Eric does make the right decision and get down there to Annapolis. We need him. He's a good man at heart. He does march to his own beat of his own drum, but you know, we need him down there, and I hope he gets down there and represents us.
Well, thank you, Steve Whistler, so much. I appreciate it, and I think a lot of people hope, especially in that district, that Eric gets back to work and understands that it really is important to everyone. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and if you can, go down there and enjoy opening day. It's a beautiful day outside.
I will, but I have a lot of signs to put up here. So.
All right.
but go O's.
Yes, of course. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you. All right, that was Steve Whistler, and he is running in District 5 there. Again, you have Carroll County and a little bit of Frederick County in that district. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about this because there was a Spotlight on Maryland interview. Gary Collins was able to catch up with Delegate Eric Boucher as he was leaving Annapolis, and apparently he has been leaving. He's been showing up to be present for the roll call, but then when it comes to votes and everything else, Delegate Boucher has been taking time to go attend to his business back in his district or what have you. And look, I understand that, you know, times are tough for business owners. I definitely get that 100%. But when you were sworn into office and you took that oath, I would assume that your constituents expect you to be there and be ready to fight for them any way that you can. And a couple of text messages coming in about this topic. Craig in Pasadena says, Kim, I agree with that delegate. The Republicans don't do anything. I don't see him on TV. I don't see him on the radio protesting. I see them doing nothing. I think they all should be walking out in protest because as a Republican, we are not represented in the state. Now, Craig, I know that it's tough, but if you listen to Kim Klasick Live, I mean, every Monday we have on Delegate Schlage, Delegate Ryan Araki at 9:35. Every Wednesday we have on Delegate Nino Mangione. He comes on now at 9:35 because he's got to be on the floor by 10. But he was coming on at 11:35. So we've had on Delegate Lauren Arkin. We've had on Delegate Latoya Cogolo, Delegate Brian Chisholm, Delegate Mark Fisher, Delegate Mark Matt Morgan. I mean, we do have them on. And as I mentioned there to Steve, I really do believe when it comes to, remember that bill they had last session about the condoms and the vending machines at elementary schools? From that bill to this one about putting tampons in men's restrooms across the state, which would cost us millions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, if it wasn't for the Republicans, you know, getting so many eyes, you know, nationally on those bills would have been passed with flying colors. And so I know it's difficult and I know it's tough, but we can't have a defeatist attitude. We can't say, let's just throw our hands up and let's not do it. I mean, you're talking to somebody that ran an AD-plus 34 district. I mean, you can't tell me like it's not worth fighting for because I do. I think it's worth fighting for. I do have some other texts coming in on this topic. RL says, what that delegate is doing is pretty much saying, since we can't win, don't even vote. In my opinion, that's a pretty weak leader. A real leader fights even when they know the odds are slim to none. And RL, that's how I feel. But again, there are some people that do feel the way that the other texter feels. And of course, Delegate Eric Boucher feels. But here's my thing. If you felt this way, because we spoke to Delegate Boucher before the session started, and he told us how he wasn't ready for re-election because he feels like the Republicans aren't getting much done. If you felt that way, I mean, I guess you could have resigned at that point in time. Right? I mean, you could have before the session even started. And then you could have had somebody else in that seat that could have been in attendance the entire session. I mean, remember Delegate Latoya Cogolo, remember, you know, the way that worked out where she had to hit the ground running last year and she had about 2 days to get her stuff in order, but she did it and she did a fantastic job last session. I understand it. I know it's a tough job. It's a tough situation as Republicans. You've got Bob Ehrlich, the former governor, and his wife, Kendall. They're crisscrossing the state trying to help some of the candidates that have a shot at winning a House seat or a Senate seat so we can start flipping things around so that Republicans do have a voice. But if we have low voter turnout and we have this defeatist attitude and we don't give it our all, you know, we end up in a worse situation than we're in now. And I don't think financially many of us can handle it. We get back. I do have some people that want to weigh in. And of course, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you're ready to move more this season, walk farther, exercise stronger, stay motivated for spring activities, but your stamina isn't keeping up, I want you to listen closely. Rescue Orseed is formulated to help you feel energized and stay active without the caffeine jitters. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with the code MYENERGY. Your body runs on ATP, the natural energy that powers every muscle, every step. But as we age, ATP production slows down, along with endurance and recovery. So, Rescue Orseed features research-backed ingredients that support ATP production at the cellular level, helping you power through workouts, get outside more, and stay consistent with your fitness goals. All you have to do is go to their website, res-q.com, and use the code MYENERGY to buy one bottle of Orseed and get the other free. Or you can call a product consultant, 1-800-26-ALIVE, 1-800-262-5483, and you can use the code MYENERGY again at res-q.com to get one bottle of Orseed and get the other free.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Previously on Casey and Company.
People that do work in these agencies, where's your pride? How can you work in a state agency that allows this to happen? Yes, there are some whistleblowers. Thank God for you that you've been able to blow the whistle on some of these things. But if you are in charge with working in children, and this doesn't outrage you, and this doesn't want you to affect change, get out, because you don't belong in the first place.
Start your morning with Maryland's Wake Up Call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Again, I get a lot of text messages here in regards to Delegate Eric Boshe. And, of course, he's now protesting. And so he shows up for roll call in Annapolis and then he leaves for the day because he believes that he doesn't really have a voice as a Republican. Let's see. Kay Dell in the text line says, I've known for decades that Republicans are nothing in Annapolis. I said it to a group of them at a political meeting in Parkton. They fumbled around for a response, and all they could say was, we try and accept being losers, but we get personal perks. Aren't we great? So that's what Kay is saying. All right. We're going to go to the phone lines as well. Look, I understand many people do agree with Eric Boshe. I guess I look at it and say, you know, you can agree for sure, but is it the right call to continue to sit in the seat when you could possibly get someone up there that would at least put a vote on the board? I got Vilek in Mount Airy. Vilek, what say you on this one?
Hey, good morning, Kim. We actually live in Mount Airy, and we actually own a business in Mount Airy, and we've worked with Steve and Eric, both of them. They're very good people. I want to commend Steve for not jumping on the bandwagon for the resignation. You know, don't Eric is doing the right thing. He being there, at least he goes there. So and the thing is, he's in the last months of the term. The session's almost over. Resigning would make no sense. And the thing is, people that, like I said, I want to say Steve, commend him for, that shows his character for not jumping on what is an emotional, you know, target. There are a lot of people there that do nothing at all. And the thing is, he sponsored 11 bills. No bill that a Republican has sponsored makes it through a committee. So, so he's getting attention. You know, so I think he's doing the right thing. And Aristotle, that's excellent, because that says something.
Well, Vinette, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you because you're his actual constituent. So if you like it,
the last thing I want to say is his business needs attention. That's why he's not running again. His business is what gives him the livelihood. He has to pay attention. This job is going to be over in a couple months. It won't be there for him.
Well, Vinette, like I said, you know what? You're a constituent, so I'm going to go with what you have to say here. Thank you so much for calling in. Happy opening day to you.
You too, bye.
Thank you. I do have a text here. Of course, LaToya, that is true. Republican LaToya Cogolo has passed bills. And, she was also accepted into the Black caucus there in Annapolis, which I thought was interesting. But she says how she tries to work across the aisle to get things done for Republicans. And so it can be done. It can be done. Coming up next, we're going to speak to Sally Taylor. Now, she's also running in District 5 here in Carroll and Frederick County. And so, of course, I texted her yesterday as well because I wanted to get her feedback on Doug and Eric Poche not showing up to work. Again, he's not running for re-election. He has made it known that he believes that Republicans aren't accomplishing much. So he's never hidden this from the public. He has said this before. But I think it's shocking for some to see that he has not been showing up to vote just to be present for roll call. But as you heard there from one of his constituents is just fine with it. All right, we get back. We'll talk to Sally Taylor about it. Also, we'll talk about Patty Martin and what she had to say to Governor Wes Moore just yesterday.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A policy change at the Olympics will exclude transgender women. The International Olympic Committee announced today that eligibility for any female category event is now limited to biological females. Correspondent Karen Chamis reports the U.S. and Iran have made no diplomatic headway as more missiles are fired.
As diplomacy aimed at ending the war between U.S., Israel and Iran seemed to be faltering, both sides have hardened their positions. Tehran has moved to formalize its control over the strategic Strait of Hormuz, through which a fifth of the world oil is normally shipped. Meanwhile, Washington prepared for the arrival of combat forces that could be used on the ground in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Israel on Thursday carried out a wave of strikes targeting Iranian infrastructure, and Iran kept up its attacks on Persian Gulf neighbors, with Saudi Arabia intercepting multiple drones. I'm Karen Chamas.
Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt warns that President Trump is not backing down.
But if Iran fails to accept the reality of the current moment, if they fail to understand that they have been defeated militarily and will continue to be, President Trump will ensure they are hit harder than they have ever been hit before. President Trump does not bluff, and he is prepared to unleash hell.
Pressure is mounting on Congress to end the funding shutdown. It has resulted in travel disruptions, missed paychecks, even warnings of airport closures. But lawmakers have yet to resolve the underlying issue of reforming the Trump administration's immigration enforcement operations as demanded by Democrats. Oil is trading back above $100 a barrel today. In the early going on Wall Street, the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ are all lower. More at townhall.com.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. Pure Talk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. Pure Talk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. Pure Talk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with Pure Talk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial #250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. City police are investigating a Wednesday afternoon shooting in Northwest Baltimore. Officers were called to the 4100 block of Patterson Avenue just before 1 p.m. where they found a man with an apparent gunshot wound. The victim was taken to a hospital for treatment, but there is no word on his condition. And a new report by Baltimore Inspector General Isabel Cumming has found that a city employee's electronic communications included threats of physical violence and other inappropriate comments. The IG says the comments violate the technology acceptable use policy. And since many communications are with subordinates, they could create and foster a toxic or hostile workplace environment. The results of the investigation can be found under recent OIG reports on the Baltimore City website. The report was presented to city leaders in December. And today is opening day for the Baltimore Orioles 2026 season as they host the Minnesota Twins at Camden Yards. First pitch will be thrown by the 2026 Mo Gabba Fan of the Year, 109-year-old veteran and lifelong Orioles fan Arthur Green. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Life has gotten more expensive. For many homeowners, their income stays about the same while everything else keeps going up. And there's less room in the budget than there used to be. Most people try to make things work on their own. They cut back, they use savings, they adjust where they can. But in a lot of cases, that still isn't enough. That's where a federal home equity conversion mortgage can help. It allows homeowners 62 and older to use some of the value in their home without a monthly payment to improve cash flow, reduce financial pressure. When someone calls me, the first thing I do is listen. I want to understand what's going on and what you're trying to accomplish. Sometimes a reverse mortgage makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. The only way to know is to talk it through. If you're finding it harder to keep up with the cost of living and you're looking for a better way forward, let's have a conversation. When you call 410-788-7070, you will speak directly with me, Mark McVeary. That number again is 410-788-7070.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. All systems go for opening day here in Baltimore. Schools are closed. Businesses shuttered and bars are open. At least that's the way it should be. As Charm City celebrates spring, all decked out in orange and black. First pitch, 3:05. Get in your seats at 2:30 for the orange carpet welcome of your 2026 O's. Your opening day starter, Trevor Rogers.
I'm already trying to contain my excitement right now. I'm just ready to get up there, pitch in front of those incredible fans.
Players and coaches are human too. And with the glare that opening day brings, it's human nature for nerves to set in. So says the Orioles manager.
There's always nerves. I think you should have nerves, right? Players should have nerves. It keeps you on edge. Those nerves are there for a reason.
Sidebar, if you're in the splash zone today, make sure to say hi to Jesse Minter before he douses you. The Ravens head coach will be joining Mr. Splash as the guest splasher today. O's pitching coach Drew French approves of the new head coach.
Love a defensive-minded head coach. Yeah. Like, that's Baltimore. That's what it's always been.
Yeah. Coming up in 30 minutes, how Trevor Rogers found out that he got the job. And that is Stein on Sports.
Lorian Harmony Hall opened a unique memory care program this year called Harmony Park. Lorian Harmony Park features an indoor setting that looks like an outdoor park space. It is a sensory neighborhood that is meant to offer wayfinding and other unique features to our residents to help them navigate their day. For more information, visit LorianAssistedLiving.com or call 410-531-6000.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a really warm day with a mix of clouds and sun and highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, turning mostly cloudy ahead of our next weather maker. Rain will move in late tonight with temperatures falling to near 50. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com.
This hour is brought to you by Timkal Heating and Cooling, trusted local experts keeping your home comfortable year-round.
Kim Plasek Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy opening day. Yes, Oriole fans. It's your day to shine. The sun is shining. It's nice weather today. You know, Brian, the producer, almost he tried to rain on my parade here, pointing out that it's going to get chilly again tomorrow and this weekend. And you know what? But today, it's a beautiful day outside. It's also the two-year anniversary of the tragedy, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? The first hour, we were talking about the latest updates. Obviously, nothing really done yet at the collapsed site. We actually went through the timeline. We went back and pulled some audio of Mayor Brandon Scott and Governor Wes Moore 2 years ago as they were responding to the collapsed site. And 2 years later, we still have a lot of questions, but we also do not have a bridge. So we were talking about that. We also talked to Tori Snow, his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun in regards to the Columbus statue now being erected there in D.C. This is a statue that they threw off into the Baltimore Inner Harbor. And his op-ed talked about the lawlessness and the fact that nobody, you know, besides, of course, Republican officials, but nobody in the Democrat Party really seemed to care that those rioters were throwing the statue over. Again, taxpayer funded, but here we are, for sure, here we are. We also spoke to Steve Whistler because Delegate Eric Boucher, I guess it's all now been revealed that the District 5 delegate, he represents Carroll and Frederick County, even though he's not running for re-election, he has been showing up to Annapolis for roll call. And then he's been leaving. And he told Gary Collins, Spotlight on Maryland, with Fox 45, that he goes to tend to his business. His business isn't doing so well right now, which I think many people can understand. But he's not voting, and he's not doing much work in Annapolis. And I would think that his constituents would want him to work there. Now, we did have a call from one of his constituents before the break. And Vinek in Mount Airy, thank you for calling in. And he said that he believes Delegate Eric Boucher is doing the right thing in his eyes because he also believes that Republicans aren't getting much done. Now, of course, we read some text messages from some of you that believes that he should resign if he's not going to be there to work. And then, of course, in Maryland Matters, if you saw the article, Senator Justin Reedy, Delegates April Rose and Delegate Chris Tomlinson, they're also asking for Delegate Eric Boucher to resign. So the other Republican running in this district, I wanted to make sure that I had her voice on this as well and so that she could weigh in. She's been on the show. She's been on, of course, with Casey and Company. I think even just yesterday, Sally Taylor's joining us on the line. Good morning, Sally. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. It is a great day for opening day.
Yes.
I was going down.
Yes, no, absolutely. Well, at least if you can get outside, Sally, that's what's important. You get outside.
I'm going to be putting up some signs too.
Oh, okay. So it's a sign kind of day. Well, you know what? I can understand that for sure. You know, Sally, of course, the big topic of the day, and I was shocked because I've had Delegate Eric Boucher on the show. He's a nice guy, but I had no idea that he was showing up in Annapolis for roll call and then leaving before votes. What was your initial reaction when you heard about it?
Well, I heard about it. Maryland Matters covered it actually last Friday when Delegate Pippi, they covered, was looking for him as the sponsor of Mason's Law. Eric's bill, Mason's Law, was on the floor of the House being considered, and he was not there. And I, frankly, was mortified and embarrassed. And then, and reading that whole article, as somebody had pointed out to me, this reads like a great ad for the Democrats in the fall. And right away, I did go on Facebook, and I asked for his resignation because if you're going to do anything on the job, you need to vote and you need to be there for the debates and you need to be in the committee. I know I work for Dan Cox, and I saw Dan go into the Judiciary Committee, and he would go down different points, and people listened to him. Now, they didn't always give him credit, but they were always listening to what Dan had to say, and they would change some things to make it conform to the law, and because Dan, of course, has a wide perspective on all things law. So Republicans do make a difference. And then to know that this has been going on since February was also heartbreaking. I don't believe for 1 minute that Eric will resign. I didn't call for his resignation to be appointed to the seat. If the seat is available by appointment, I would ask to be considered. But I've been on the Central Committee, and I know that nothing's on lock with the Central Committee. So my best course of action is, of course, to run for the seat, for actually one of three seats. People can vote for both me and Steve.
Yeah, that is true. Again, we're speaking to Sally Taylor. She's running in District 5. And we're talking about Delegate Eric Boucher, and then, of course, the spotlight on Maryland interview with Gary Collins, finding out that he was just showing up for roll call. There was a caller a little bit ago, Sally, not sure if you heard, saying that Republicans can't get bills across. And so Glenn Gilhar, of course, you know Glenn, Sally.
Yeah,
he then texted me and said, no, that's not true. LaToya Cagolo, Republican, she has been able to pass bills, and I actually testified on one of her bills that will soon hear pass with the scalp cooling for those going through chemotherapy. I will say that it's very tough to hear, as you know, Sally, you've supported me running for office, very tough to hear when I hear someone that has taken an oath to represent their constituents, whether it's at the State House or Capitol Hill or whatever, not showing up because they personally believe that they can't get something done. Because in my view, it's not about your personal beliefs. It's about those that you represent, your constituents in a whole. Like, what does the majority of your constituents want you to do? I did hear you are saying and calling for his resignation. Just so you know, I did reach out to Doug and Eric Boucher. It doesn't sound like he's going to resign anytime soon. But Sally, I wanted to ask you a question that I asked Steve as well. It's, it does seem like there's a whiff of politics involved with the resignation, whether it's the calls for resignation or the calls for him not to resign. Do you feel that way as well?
I don't. Anybody out here that knows Eric knows that when he sets a course, he ain't changing. So I don't believe for 1 minute that he will resign. However, I think it was very important for me to ask for him to resign. I think it was, and I'm very important for Senator Reedy, Delegates April Rose and Chris Tomlinson also to ask for his resignation. But because if we don't feel that way, if we don't ask for his resignation, then it seems like we would feel the same way. Our votes, our efforts would not matter. It's just like the Democrats who didn't speak up on the Columbus statue being thrown into the harbor there. That mattered, and I think they should have spoke up, and they should have and they should have taken a stand. And that's part of what Republicans we have to do in this state. I remember back in the 1980s, there were only like 15 Republicans in the House of Delegates and only about 7 state senators. Our state was, we had one county that was reliably Republican, that was Garrett County. Allegheny County every other year was Republican. It would change between Republican and Democrat. Now we have Republican counties, including Carroll County, all through the state. And we have, and we have pickups at local levels, and we're making a difference. Yes, it's hard, but you know what? The Republicans are right on the issues, and we just need to broadcast those issues. And I really think we can make inroads, because I love this state. I'm sorry. And to see anybody give up
just drives me nuts.
Yeah, I know it does, Sally. I know it does. You know, Sally, I wanted to ask you, if you make it there to Annapolis, what would be your first priority? What will you be focused on?
Well, I think we need just to look at core government functions, public safety, roads. I've gone to a lot of the municipal meetings here in Carroll County. They need help with water and water treatment plants. We need to get government in the business of government, and we need to get it out of the business of everyday life. And I also have a letter to the editor now in the Baltimore Sun, actually talking about the situation with Eric, that we need recall in the state. So I've committed myself to draft legislation to develop some sort of a public recall. I understand that there's something in the Constitution, failure to act, but I think that's an internal mechanism with the legislators governing themselves. I think the public needs to have that mechanism. I think that a lot of things that I would do would be try to repeal and amplify the things that that the Democrats are doing to us. In 2022, I called for more robust audits. If the Republicans now weren't in session working hard, we wouldn't really have a lot of information on Governor Moore and his administration tried to cover up the fact that they are facing $240 million in penalties because they wanted to hide the SNAP repayments and the federal government's coming down on them. We wouldn't know about the $360 million of unauthorized payments that have been asked of the federal government, which now our state has to repay. We're in a pickle. We're in a really big pickle, and we need transparency. We need to work on and back up our IGs throughout the state that are in place, and maybe look at placing more independent investigators in our agencies, because I don't think the Department of Legislative Services can solely get this done. And I know folks, we talk about that 90-day session, but I will be working 365 days a year, to be looking at these issues, because the Democrats never stop coming. And I think I'd be a valuable member of the District 5 team.
Yeah, well, Sally Taylor, thank you so much for answering the call. I know it was very last minute, and I definitely wanted you to weigh in on what was going on here, because, I feel as though that anybody else that would want to be there and represent the constituency, I think that's a better, just a better way forward than someone just showing up for roll call and then leaving, even if it is in protest. Sally, before you go, if you could just let people know where to find you online, and if they want to donate to you, what is your website?
My website is taylorfordelegate.com. Real simple. Right. Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, for delegate, F-O-R, .com.
Thank you so much, Sally, and I guess we'll see what happens coming up soon here with Delegate Boucher and whether or not he resigns. Thank you.
Yeah, you take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, so there you have it. Both Republicans running for this District 5 seat. We've heard them here today on WCBM. Steve Whistler and Sally Taylor. This is a fairly red district. There are Democrats running in this race, and if they want to reach out and come on the show, I more than welcome them to do so. But as Sally mentioned there, this is something I wasn't even thinking about previously. But yeah, that is a great campaign ad for any Democrat, right? I mean, the Republican doesn't show up because they can't do anything. I mean, yeah, any Democrat running for that district seat could, in fact, say that, and they could just play part of that interview that Gary Collins had with Delegate Eric Boucher. All right. We get back. I got a couple of text messages on this, and then I've got text messages on other topics. I also want to just kind of go through, because on Capitol Hill, Democrats have decided even to again, not compromise at all with Republicans in regards to funding DHS so TSA agents could finally be paid. So stay right there.
Hi, it's Sean Casey, and sitting here with Dr. Melissa Segev, Doctor of Audiology with Audiology Associates, When Silence Is Not Golden. Great to see you again, Doctor.
Likewise.
All right, so a lot of folks have earwax, yep. And when is it time to get it removed? Do you use the tips?
No.
No tips ever,
no.
Right?
Nothing smaller than your elbow. I get this question all the time, and I love when I see an ear full of earwax because it's going to be immediate gratification for your patients. And earwax is necessary, right? Too much is a problem. A little is normal, and you want to leave it. So when we use Q-tips, all it does is strip the ear of natural oils. Our ear consists of a certain pH level, so it doesn't get too dry, and it has oil lubricants that help the wax start by the eardrum and it migrates out and that oil helps it slough out. And earwax falls out naturally when you're sleeping, bathing, walking around. I mean, you don't even know. It's just little pieces. But what happens with the Q-tip is now you shove it back in and that's when we get impactions. A little is okay. Patients come in like, I did this to get rid of wax. No, leave it alone. If it's a problem, I'll take care of it. Because when you do strip your ear every day, your ear will produce more wax to compensate because it needs to create that certain balance. You know, earwax is sticky because it catches bugs and dirt so it doesn't get to the eardrum. It also has a certain smell to keep bugs away, and it helps the ear stay clean, right? It's protecting the eardrum from debris and environmental factors. So we only like to remove it when it's truly a problem. Other than that, just let it be. And if you are one of those people who do have chronic earwax, there are some over-the-counter supplements to use, like Debrox is one. It's a peroxide-based drops that helps just pull the wax away from the ear so it comes out better. But honestly, if you just come into an audiologist or your primary doctor, you know, we love removing wax. It's fun. If you really want, you can take it home with you.
Bugs? I don't know if I'll ever be the same after hearing that.
Yes.
Call, get your earwax removed, 410-944-3100, or schedule at AAIAudiology.com.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, got a great text message here. Michael says, excellent show today, Miss Klasick. Very informative. Well done. Thank you. I'd like to thank all the little people like Brian, the producer. Yes, that's right. At WCBM. All right, we did that. We had a lot to talk about today, but I wanted to get to the bottom of this whole situation with Doug and Eric Boucher because you guys know how I'm taking this personal, right? You can understand it. You can understand it. You know, as I dream of one day taking the oath and representing constituents in any capacity, and you know, to see someone have that honor, that privilege. And to just say, oh, I'm just not going to show up because, you know, we don't do much. Now, I also will say, I'm actually very surprised that Delegate Eric Boucher is in the seat to begin with. Now, he previously held office, it looks like, with the commissioners, but I was going through some of his stuff. You know, in 2021, he actually protested with Black Lives Matter. I thought that was very interesting. And there was a piece here. Let me go back to it. I can read it word for word for you. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, again, this is a very, you know, red district. And to see that, and then to see that he was then elected for that seat in 2022, I thought that was quite interesting. I wouldn't think that somebody would be able to get into this position in that district with this on their background. But you know, I'm going to pull that up so I can read it to you directly from the source. But yeah, he was protesting with Black Lives Matter, and I was going through last night trying to get more information on him, just so I could really see what was going on. Let's see. You had January 2021. Boucher condemned the January 6th. United States Capitol attack is what they have on here. He also ran as an unaffiliated candidate at the Republican National Convention in Maryland's 8th Congressional District. He said that he would vote for Donald Trump on the first ballot. Here it is, social issues. In June of 2020, Doug and Eric Boucher joined a Black Lives Matter protest in Westminster. Later that month, he proposed creating a heritage commission to recognize the history and achievements of African Americans in Carroll County. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he, not that he did this, because everybody's their own person. I guess I'm surprised people knew this and that he was then elected. Now, that piece, actually, if you want to take a look at it, that was June 19th, 2020, written in the Baltimore Sun. And again, that was about Doug and Eric Boucher wanting to put something together to promote Black heritage and combat unacceptable racism. All right. So anyways, I was shocked when I read that. I will go to your text messages here. Obviously, lots of texts. Real quick on X right now, Doug and Mark Fisher, he's actually going a little viral himself. He has a video here of Governor Wes Moore driving the tractor at the Baltimore port, right, as he was talking about the bridge collapse. Here's the caption. It says, "A key bridge rebuild is moving so fast under Governor Wes Moore that he's showing a random tractor in his victory video instead of the actual bridge." And that is true. So instead of showing like the bridge site or anything over in the water, he's driving this red tractor. And he's saying, "Look at how fast and how quickly we're moving here." And all the cameras are focused on him driving this tractor because they quite literally can't point to anything in the water because there's nothing there. Anyways, Robert says, "Good morning, Kim. Why did it take 4 years for Doug and Boucher to stop showing up? If he felt this way, truly, why did it take him so long to do it? Did he get a sense of this during his first year? If so, why did he run for re-election? That would be my question. Anyway, have a great day and go Birds." Yeah, so I guess this is still considered his freshman year because he was elected in 2022. So he's not running for re-election here in November. But if you're asking why he didn't resign previously, that is a good question, Robert. I don't know. Let's see. You got a couple more here. Let's see. RL says that RL said something else over here. Sorry about that. It's just now loading. I don't know why I have such hard time loading things here when I'm on air. Because it shows me like the first piece of it, and then it takes time. All right, our criticism of the delegate is not on him as a person, but on him as a quitter. I'm sure he had told his constituents. I'm sure had he told his constituents to vote on him, so he could sit in protest when things aren't working, he would have lost in a landslide. I respectfully think he should step down and let someone else be on the record voting good, bad, or indifferent. Again, that comes in from RL. RL, that's kind of where I am on it. And not just that for me. It's like, you know, you take the oath to be there. I mean, so what does that mean to you, right? You swear on the Bible. We'll discuss more when we get back.
SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A big change coming to the Olympics. Transgender women athletes are banned. The International Olympic Committee announced today that eligibility for any female category event is now limited to biological females. Israel says it killed the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's Navy chief in an overnight military strike. And Pakistan's top diplomat says U.S.-Iran indirect talks are taking place as the two countries offer their opposing proposals for a ceasefire. An appeals court has ruled that the U.S. can continue to detain immigrants without bond. The ruling handed a victory to the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration. AAA says today's national average for gasoline just under $4 at $3.98 a gallon. Wall Street down arrows across the board. This is SRN News.
If you're ready to move more this season, walk farther, exercise stronger, stay motivated for spring activities, but your stamina isn't keeping up, listen closely. Rescue Orsine is formulated to help you feel energized and stay active without the caffeine jitters. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with code MYENERGY. Your body runs on ATP. The natural energy powers every muscle, every step. But as we age, ATP production slows down along with endurance and recovery. Rescue Aura Seed features research-backed ingredients that support ATP production at the cellular level, helping you power through workouts. Get outside more and stay consistent with your fitness goals. Just go to res-q.com and use the code MyEnergy to buy one bottle of Aura Seed to get one free. Or you can call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Don't wait to spring forward with lasting energy. Shop Aura Seed at res-q.com with code MyEnergy.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
A lot of firsts happening today at Camden Yards. First game for Craig Albernaz as manager of the Birds. First time Pete Alonso will be introduced as the Orioles' first baseman. First time Trevor Rogers will take the ball on opening day. The left-hander telling Barstool Sports how he got the news from pitching coach Drew French.
He said, we just need to go over some scheduling. I'm like, okay, sounds good. And then he takes me into Albie's office, and then everyone was in there. Like, I don't know why it takes eight guys to talk about a schedule, but shortly after that, I realized what it was about. It was pretty special.
Later, Rogers was asked what the impact of guys like Alonso and Chris Bassitt have had on this year's Birds.
Just having those two veteran guys that, you know, have had good numbers in the playoffs, you know, Bassitt going all the way to the World Series, and they're just really good glue guys. I don't think people outside the sport really don't understand how important glue guys are and just keeping the team together.
At a sidebar, the Athletics' Keith Law in his preseason prognostications picking Gunnar Henderson as the AL's MVP, citing the shortstop's performance at the World Baseball Classic and protection that Pete Alonso would offer Henderson in the batting order. Ravens news, reports are out that seven teams have contacted the team about the availability of Marlon Humphrey on the trade market. The team is having internal discussions about Humphrey's value on the market, but insists that at this point Humphrey will be a Raven in 2026. Now, Tuesday, we found out that former Raven Joe Flacco will again be a Bengal next season. Flacco, at his press conference, taking teams to task for not offering him to be their number one.
And believe me, I wish I was a guy somewhere. And I think teams are dumb for not having me be that guy. It is what it is, and I'm not going to let them or it get me down. I'm going to be the person I am and just approach football the way I always have.
1 year, $6 million for Flacco as a number two behind Joe Burrow. Coming up in 30 minutes, players and coaches are human too. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and great patriot, Rod Winstead. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Winstead. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a warm day with temperatures in the mid-70s, increasing clouds ahead of our next weathermaker that will be sending us rain late tonight. Temperatures fall to near 50 tonight. We are starting Friday off with a lot of rain, steady rain at times, even some thunder. On and off showers will follow for the rest of the day with dropping temperatures. Temperatures will fall from the 60s to the 50s, eventually back into the 40s. Saturday is drier but cooler and breezy with temperatures in the 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Annapolis is broken. Westmore and the Democrats are making it harder to afford the American dream, run a small business, retire, and feel safe. I'm Shariah Youssefi. I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will put Harford County first and not more career politicians. I'm Shariah Youssefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for the Republican values that we share of faith, family, and freedom. Vote Shariah Youssefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the committee to elect Shariah Youssefi. Treasurer, Andrew Hoibach.
File now with TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They'll find every credit and deduction. Or your money back. File in the Credit Karma app.
From Dundalk to the Boardwalk. From Pikesville to Parkville. This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, it's opening day. Get excited. It's a new beginning here in Baltimore. The Orioles have a chance to be undefeated. We have that shot today. Brian, the producer, do you think we'll head down that road? We'll take on that journey? Are we going to be undefeated champions? Probably not, huh? Probably not. No, baseball, yeah. Oh, anyways, we can dream. We have hope, okay? Hopefully we win today. Good luck to the birds. Of course, we're speaking to Sally Taylor running in District 5, Steve Whistler running in District 5, because Delegate Eric Boucher was not, apparently he's protesting in Annapolis in District 5. He's, you know, thinks that, you know, because Republicans aren't able to do much there. We are in the minority in Annapolis. He believes, you know, sitting there in his seat instead of tending to his business is just not a good use of his time. And I got some more text messages coming in. And I do want to go, before we go today, we got to just play that soundbite of Patty Warren calling Governor Wes Moore out. Remember, her daughter, Rachel Warren, was killed in Harford County on the Ma-Pa Trail by an illegal immigrant. And now you have Governor Moore, the AG, Anthony Brown, Congresswoman April Delaney, and so many others. They're really standing in the way. Federal partners, ICE agents, from collecting criminally charged illegal immigrants out of the state. And I don't know why they would do such a thing. But we'll take a listen to that in just a bit. I wanted to get some of your text messages, and I apologize for not getting to them earlier. Phil says, what $360 million do we need to repay to the federal government? For what? Is this waste by Scott and Moore? The bridge will never be rebuilt. Again, that was because Sally Taylor brought that up. This is from way back when. Let me get the exact date for you here, Phil. This was posted on September 12, 2025. Remember, there was an audit that came out. The State Highway Administration knowingly charged nearly $360 million in unauthorized expenses to the federal projects in an attempt to hide a budget shortfall in the Transportation Trust Fund. Okay, so this was a state audit that came out at that time. Now, the audit was sparked from a tip to the Waste, Fraud, and Abuse Hotline that reported, quote, rapid increase in the federal funds receivable balance. The review looked at the same period between November 1st, 2020 and October 31st, 2024. Remember when the head of the Transportation Department resigned? This revealing audit is really why that happened. And so, yes, that $360 million in authorized expenses to federal projects, we most likely will have to, in fact, pay back. Now, we don't have the money, and the federal government, hopefully, they're not coming to collect anytime soon. But you know what? They're in debt, too, right? I mean, we're in debt all over the place. But that is what she was referring to. And going back to the question of the day, you brought that up, Phil, about the bridge. This is a two-year anniversary of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. We talked about it a lot more yesterday, for sure. But my question of the day, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, what year will the Key Bridge reopen for motorists? That was my question to you. 2030, 2031, 2032, or 2033 and beyond? Those were your options. Somebody did text in text line, where is the option for never? Don't say that, texter. Right now, 57% of you say 2033 and beyond. Some of you believe this is going to take a lot longer and probably be much more expensive, too. 22% of you say 2031, 18% of you say 2032, and 4% of you say in 2030 the bridge will be open for motorists. Just so you know, I said 2032. Now, Brian, the producer, you said 2031, March 12th, 2031. I said 2032. I do think it is going to take quite some time, and I do agree with some of the texts coming in saying that it'll take more money than $5.2 billion, which is what they're quoting us right now. Now, if the Trump administration gets involved with Sean Duffy and the Army Corps of Engineers, then that changes everything. But unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to happen with Governor Wes Moore in the way. All right, got some other texts here. Craig in Harford County says, good day, Kim. I said the same when Democrats couldn't show up for the State of the Union. That, as an elected official, you need to show up and listen. If they can't do that, at a minimum, you need to go. Okay, so Craig in Harford County, you think that Doug and Eric Boucher should resign. And again, he does have these calls from Sally Taylor, Senator Justin Reedy, and then also in that district, because there's three delegate seats. So Chris Tomlinson and April Rose, they are also in that district. They're also calling for their colleague to resign. And again, many people are saying that it's not personal. It isn't a personal situation. Anybody that has met Eric is a really nice guy. I mean, he is. He's a nice guy. It's not personal. It's just, you know, they want somebody in the seat to be able to be there to vote. Let's see. Michael says, I thought the last caller was going to start crying. Either that or he's really, really old. Oh, okay. So about the whole thing with Eric. Yeah, no, you know, nobody's going to cry about it. But, I mean, this is a touchy subject, especially for those that live in that district. Scott in Westminster says, Kim, your callers and texters who are critical of the Republican Party should have the courage to run for office and put their name on the ballot instead of just running their mouth. Ooh, Scott in Westminster is not taking it today. And I know Scott personally because he's helped on my campaign. Yeah, it's a lot easier to criticize for sure than rolling your sleeves up and getting in there. We also talked about the Columbus statue with Tori Snow earlier. Now it is going to be in Washington, D.C. after it was thrown into the water at the Inner Harbor. Texter says, Nancy, quote, Mary Corleone, Pelosi, doesn't care about the statue because her dad's ties already got her to the top. Yeah, Nancy is one of those people, huh? I got her number. She's like a Hillary Clinton. You know, you see them every once in a while. They're about themselves. I agree with you there. Let's see. Fred says, Kim, I say 2055 on the bridge. Governor Shinyhead does not want the bridge repaired, but add new buses. After all, cars are killing us, all according to Greta Thunberg. Yeah. Thank you, Fred. I understand. I'm also getting another text message here onto my phone. Let's see. He's saying that, Doug and Eric Boucher gave me permission to read the letter he addressed to the Carroll County Central Committee on air with you. Okay, well, then go ahead and call in, Rich. You can call us. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. You can call right now if you'd like to. I also wanted to just read a couple more of these text messages because many of you have been texting all show, and I do appreciate you. I really do. Let's see. William says, Kim, on all the people on the bridge that day work for Bronner Builders, and they were all illegal aliens. And that is what most a Bronner builder hires. Now, William is this is the only text we've ever received from William. William, are you saying that we need to look into that, William? Is that what you're saying? Ralph says, Kim, that construction company was Bronner, and they are known for hiring illegals. Oh, Ralph with the same. Ralph with the same thing. See, and that's what, and here's the thing. A lot of people gave me a lot of pushback, too, because unfortunately, you had a situation where, you know, I still believe to this day, and some people are telling me that I'm wrong, and that's fine. But you had the opportunity for those on the bridge to be able to close the bridge when they found out the cargo ship was barreling towards the bridge itself. And so, you know, they jumped into action. Do I believe that they put out a call for those workers to get off the bridge? I do. But if you remember what the story that we heard, we were told that there were some of those workers were in their trucks taking like a lunch break, and they were not with the translator. I mean, remember, the translator was in the water. He was pulled out of the water. So for me, I felt as though that there might have been, you know, somewhat of a call that went out, or even the sirens or something that went out. And those workers that cannot speak English, I think they didn't know what, you know, possibly the sirens and the calls were in regards to. And yet no one has addressed that either. But that is what I think. And I know that some people say, no, that's not it. And that's fine. I could be totally wrong on that one. But if you're out there with the translator and you're now not with the translator and they're closing the bridge and getting everybody else off of it, and you're just sitting there eating your sandwich, I would think it's because you have no idea what's being said. I think you have no idea what's going on. All right, so now Rich is on the line with us, and apparently he has this letter. Rich in Carroll County. Rich, you have a letter from Doug and Eric Boucher, is that correct?
That is correct, Kim, and everyone should know that I did get permission from Eric. He would like me to read this letter that he addressed to the Carroll County Republican Central Committee.
We're ready whenever you are.
Okay, I'm ready. So this is from Eric to the Central Committee. Our minority party in the legislature is a super minority, meaning that no matter how I vote, it does not impact the outcome of any legislation. My protest is not about abandoning my responsibilities or the people I represent. It's about standing up for the challenges facing small business owners in our state, including myself. It's worth noting that Delegates Jones and Crosby have missed more days than I have, yet there has been no public outcry or calls for their resignation. I share this to provide context. Missing votes in a super minority does not prevent the legislature from functioning, but missing work, running a business, does directly impact employees, the local economy, and the sustainability of small businesses, my own included. There are only 19 days left in this legislative session. I am most missing votes, yes, but I am still commuting to Annapolis, responding to constituents, attending meetings and community events, awarding scholarships to college kids from District 5, and fulfilling all other legislative duties in the district. During the upcoming interim, which begins in 2 weeks, I will continue to carry out the same responsibilities as every other legislator. My protest does not include neglecting my work or my commitment to our community. I appreciate your understanding as I work to balance my civic duties with the very real demands of running a small business. Thank you for your continued support and for allowing me the privilege of serving you.
Well, Rich.
End of letter.
Rich, thank you so much. Again, that was a letter from Delegate Eric Boucher to the Central Committee. Rich, if I could ask you, there on the Carroll County Central Committee, do they plan on voting or even discussing whether or not the delegate should resign?
I know it's going to get discussed, and I haven't spoken to any of my colleagues. And what are we going to do? Are we going to say, Eric, you need to resign? Well, everybody in the county can say that. But we've heard from him. He's not going to listen. He's not going to resign. So while we might talk about it, we can't demand it. That's not our position to do.
Right.
And I will say this. The way the process works is, should there be an opening, our job is to go through the process of interviewing candidates. And once we have selected one, two, maybe three candidates, we would forward those names up to the governor. It's then the governor's responsibility to appoint whoever it's going to be to sit in that seat.
Right. Well, and let me ask you this, and you might not know, Rich, because I was listening to that letter there and I was waiting because Delegate Eric Boucher did tell Gary Collins with Spotlight on Maryland that he was changing his strategy. He was helping his constituents in other ways. Did he happen to note to any of you on what that strategy was or what it looks like?
No, and candidly, I would love to know what his strategy is.
Yeah,
I thought that was... I hope he picked up a few things the way I said that.
So. Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to address that. Well, Rich, thank you so much for calling in and giving us that statement from Delegate Eric Boucher. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Did I pass the audition?
Yes, you did. You did a fantastic job. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a good one. Okay, so there you have it. So he still does not plan to resign, and he still believes that he's doing, you know, something significant for his constituents. But I was waiting to hear about the strategy that he said that he's using to better serve his constituents. That has not been made public yet, and that was not detailed there in the letter. Here's what I'll also say, and this is, and I said this even with Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna, who you guys know I love her, out of Tampa, Florida, when she joined other members of Congress and they were fighting for maternity leave for members of Congress, I was against that wholeheartedly. Because in my view, that is something you want personally. You personally want to spend time with your baby, and I agree that you should spend time with your baby. But you don't run for office and then demand personal time with your baby, okay? This is not one of those positions. You're not a greeter at Walmart. You are a member of Congress. And so to take off, and not be there to vote, not be there in person, not doing your job, that's a problem. This isn't your run-of-the-mill job, all right? You're a representative, and you're representing, in some cases, you know, thousands to hundreds of thousands, depending on the district where you live, or hundreds of thousands of people. So it's not personally about you. And that's what I get from Delegate Eric Boucher's statement, is that his business is important. And yes, you're dealing with other employees, but this is a personal issue that you're giving us. when you become a public servant, your personal issues are set aside. As I told everybody here on WCBM, I'm not running for office again anytime soon. Why? Because I personally need to attend to my 9-year-old daughter. She's having a hard time at school. She's my responsibility. It is on me to make sure she is educated to a point where I know that she is going to do well and be successful in life and a contributing member of society. So no, I can't run for office again. My daughter needs me. That is personal. If I were to get into office and then say, personally, my daughter needs me, that's why I can only show up to vote, you know, 2 days out of the week, that's unacceptable. I should have never ran in the first place. You see, that's why I think I'm having a hard time with this statement. When we get back, like I told you, I wanted to play for you just some of the sound from Patty Moore and Rachel Moran's mother and her comments to Governor Wes Moore, because I think it's important.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If you're dealing with missing teeth or loose dentures, we can help at the Smile Design Center. You'll walk out feeling confident, comfortable, and looking great. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking into diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Kenny Michaels right here on 680 WCBM at 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Kenny is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Listen for Kenny's insights in The Gold Show every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
Gary Stein here. If your heating or AC system gives you trouble, you need a company that you can count on. That's why I recommend Farnan and Dermer Heating and Air Conditioning, serving Baltimore for 125 years. When you need help fast, they offer same-day service, while some companies are a week or more out. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for up to 60 months on select systems and BGE rebates of up to $3,000 on high-efficiency HVAC systems. Tell them I sent you and get an AC system tuned up for just $99. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys, my guys.
The Rob Carson Show.
Thursday on the show, believe it or not, Iranians are warning that Zohran Mandami used the same language that the Ayatollah did in 1979 to gain power, including affordable housing and free buses.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM. And WCBM.com.
All right, so you're going down there to opening day. I want you to have fun. If you see me out there, you better say hi. Don't be shy, all right, because I'm not that shy. I want to say hello to you. And then hopefully I'll see many of you in Annapolis. Don't forget, I did post it on my socials, that big gubernatorial debate tonight with all of the Republican candidates. They've all been invited. As far as I know, all but one has completely confirmed. So it should be a great event. It is free, right? So you can come in and speak to some of those candidates and then also listen to where they stand on the issues. Again, check my socials, Kim K. Baltimore on X, and then Kimberly Klasick on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, where we'll be in Annapolis with other moderators just talking to the candidates. I'm excited about it. Here I do have some sound from Patty Moran. She did call out Governor Wes Moore and the way that he is acting as far as trying to get in the way between, obviously, Washington County and then also the Trump administration and putting an ICE facility and detention center there to house those illegal immigrants that are going through the process and they're, you know, could possibly be deported. Take a listen.
The Trump administration wants to build that $103 million warehouse into a detention center. The governor said it's not what the state needs, but Patty Moran disagrees.
In Washington County, opposition from Governor Moore about an ICE detention center.
And that is why we secured a court-ordered halt to construction on this site.
The Trump administration wants to convert this warehouse to an immigration detention center, but the governor taking it to court and getting a temporary halt. In this public service announcement, the governor calling the center concerning.
This is being done without transparency, without public input or accountability. And it's raising serious concerns for Marylanders all across our state.
But not all Marylanders agree.
First off, I was just really angry because he is misrepresenting the people of Maryland.
Patty Moran taking to social media telling the governor he's out of touch and speaking with Fox 45 about why she says he is.
Last time I looked, statistics said 1.3 million immigrants in Maryland. And you know that some of those are here illegally.
Marin's daughter, Rachel Marin, a mother of five, was killed by an illegal immigrant in Harford County back in 2023.
While the Trump administration is moving forward without any consideration for Marylanders, we're putting your concerns front and center.
While the governor says blocking the detention center is what's best for Marylanders, Marin says he's not listening to his residents.
He is totally politics over people. He genuinely does not care about the people of Maryland or the constituents that he represents. All the time, Marylanders are like, what is the matter with this governor? Why is he doing this?
All right, again, that is Patty Moran, Rachel Moran's mother, and she's calling out Governor Wes Moore because he is standing in the way, and he's not listening to Marylanders. Meanwhile, across the entire state, close to, I think they said close to 80% of Marylanders support deporting illegal immigrants. Okay, so lots of Democrats do support deporting criminally charged illegal immigrants. But just like redistricting, Governor Moore is acting like a king, right? He's trying to decide for himself what makes sense politically. And I even noted in my notes here, more people have been killed by illegals than by ICE agents. Okay, but they don't want to talk about that. But I do think people are going to bring this up when he decides to run for the Oval Office. I think that he is going to have a hard time in his own Democrat primary against people like Pete Buttigieg, who, if you noticed, he's been kind of quiet on the illegal immigrant issue. And I know that many people are talking about the fact that he is going to run for the Oval Office again, whether it's 2028 or 2032, I don't know. But this is something that he could use against Governor Wes Moore because overwhelmingly, Americans are sick and tired of the illegal immigration crisis. We just are. I mean, we've got an affordability crisis, but a lot of that hinges on the fact that we're paying for people that shouldn't be here. So anyways, I wanted to share that with you. Again, 2 years ago today, we were watching the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. We'll continue to wait for Governor Moore to be a project manager to get that bridge back up. And thank you guys so much for joining. As always, Brian, thank you for a great show. And if you're going out there to opening day, enjoy yourselves. Do not drink and drive. You can get an Uber or a Lyft. And I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Hi, I'm Reese Friedman. On behalf of the law offices of Michael Friedman, the personal injury firm that specializes in auto accidents, combining modern technology such as a phone app and a comprehensive interactive website with old school service such as returning phone calls and always having a live voice on the other end, result in successful representation. For a free consultation, call 410-363-6848 or email us directly from maflaw.com. The law offices of Michael Friedman, serving the community for over 40 years.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
This is the right choice for Maryland.